Chicago, one of the most industrialized cities in the United States. There are many, many things that you can encounter, like divvy bikes, oversized rats, the Bucket Boys, and CTA music performers.
Hey, I want to sing you a song!
But in the murky waters of the Humboldt Park Lagoon lies one of the most deadly predators known to man, an alligator. A volunteer animal expert known as Alligator Bob, who has searched for the animal without success, is only equipped with a canoe, a net, and paddles back and forth to the edge of the lagoon.
He may not eat for a week. I mean, because he's laying in the sun.
It's been 3 days, and the bashful reptile is still on the loose.
He doesn't want to cooperate.
And the locals have since started to worship the animal.
We got a special song for him. It says, En el parque de Humboldt Park hay un corillo.
And Mayor Lightfoot seems to be baffled as well.
I'm following Gatorgate, yes.
Stay tuned for the next episode to see if Alligator Bob will have any success apprehending this cold-blooded creature.
Alligator Bob is on the case.
There you go.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, we just put together a little, you know, a little something for you. The great Brian Altimer right there. We have very few choices in terms of stories to cover.
Come on.
Thank God there's no news in Chicago, and we can get all over this alligator thing.
It was a perfect week for it with baseball during the All-Star break, you know, things like that, a lot of summer vacations. You know, Alligator Bob, I saw there, you know, there was a big party there by the lagoon. They were doing the salsa dancing and everything, mm-hmm. and he said that the alligator doesn't like that music. How does he know that? He's decided to become, he's like the Gloria Allred all of a sudden. He's speaking for everybody. He's holding press conferences. Did that gator hire him?
I don't think he's right about that, because alligators are generally where they come from, where salsa music comes from.
Yeah.
Right?
You might dig it. How do you know?
Yeah, it's probably their music. I mean, come on.
I like, there's been a couple of pretty good Name the Gator. I know things are coming. Yeah. Chance the Snapper. I thought was pretty good.
I think that's what everybody's calling it.
Oh, Croc Obama? No.
I did not like that.
That one seemed like kind of pushing it, because he's not a croc, right? He's a gator.
Well, I think not only pushing it, but political and weird and
that's a Chicago
awkward
thing, yeah.
Awkward.
Maybe, yeah.
There was no good reason to actually call him that.
Gatorgate, I like that. Mm-hmm. Alligator Bob's going to change his name pretty soon if he doesn't come up with something. I'm now Squirrel Bob, and I've caught four. Okay?
Right. He's going to be Sunburn Bob, because that's all he's getting out there right now.
Gator's up 3-0.
So I think it turns out the gator is, I did like one of the things that Gator Bob said earlier to the, I guess it was earlier this morning, to the Associated Press or whoever was talking to him. And again, it's like there's more
National
reporters
news
than anything else out there.
Yeah.
Was that the alligator is it's getting very comfortable in the water.
Oh, well, that, yeah, okay.
It used to just be around the boathouse, where they assumed that that's where the person who put it in the water, that's where that happened. And it was just swimming around in circles around the boathouse. And now it's actually going back and forth inside the lagoon, looking for things, experimenting. Mm. And I think it realizes there are no predators to it, except for Alligator Bob.
Yeah,
and exactly. And once he's figured that out, once he's narrowed it down just to the guy in the canoe, he's like
the net. Oh, that's a cute net.
Right? It's like, right. I got this worked out.
Because they've been putting chicken, I think, in the traps and things like that. He's like, maybe he's laughing at all that.
Right? He goes, oh, come on now.
Do you think if the human or humans who dumped the gator in the lagoon, do you think if the human came back, the gator would recognize his human? Like a puppy dog does, or a cat. Yeah, and there's my human.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Could be a good way if they said that they could maybe post a reward, and then maybe the original human would come.
How do we know that this Alligator Bob didn't do it himself?
Oh, jeez.
And then this is a way that Alligator Bob gets to work his own brand.
Genius move.
Probably worked with those two Nigerian brothers on the whole thing. Set it up too soon. The security cam footage. We now have directed the investigation toward Alligator Bob. We're just kidding, Alligator Bob. We know you wouldn't do that. Give us a call if you get a chance.
Yeah. Well, he just did talk to, he hates the press.
It does.
A lot of people do, but he really does. He does not want to talk to anybody. We've been calling him. We have his number. Yeah. He won't. He won't talk to anybody. And then today, the intern for the John Williams show was out there and actually threw the phone in his face. And then as soon as the guy,
good work, intern.
Right, exactly. And then intern Jay. And when intern Jay figured, you know, he figured this is as close as we're going to get. Starts doing the interview with Alligator Bob. And Alligator Bob goes, "What are they doing?"
Oh, geez.
We should put that in the top five. It's a very awkward moment. For Alligator Bob.
I like that a 60-year-old man in a canoe with a net who calls himself Alligator Bob wants us to take this seriously. This is no joke. All right. You have a name from Sesame Street. We can't help but chuckle a little.
All right, here we got Ben Bradley. He's going to join us. I know he's all over this story, as they are at Channel 9. I just love the open of that that little piece that we ran there. My favorite part was the all the sights and sounds of Chicago.
Yeah, very nice. A tapestry right now in the summer.
I would like to add the scooters to that list now.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
It's a good move on your part.
I believe next year, Ben Bradley and the rest of his television news colleagues, there'll be a category for like best feature reporting in the Chicago Midwest Emmys, and it'll be all Gator-related stories. WGN-TV, Gator Watch. The nominees are CBS2 for... Gator Watch 2019, and NBC5 for Humboldt Park Gator.
I wonder if he'll get his own book like the hippo in, Cincinnati?
That would be fantastic. Get on that, Lauren Lapka.
Fiona.
We know an illustrator. We can have this happen like in a week.
Chance the Snapper makes a friend. Alligator Bob.
A little number three on him, a little cap.
I'm Alligator Bob.
Oh, jeez.
He's like the man in the red hat, right? Is the from Curious George?
Exactly.
Yellow hat.
Yellow hat or whatever that guy was. Was it red hat or yellow hat? What was he in? Yellow hat. The yellow hat.
Never.
Yeah, it was like kind of like a Pharrell hat.
Yeah, exactly.
It exactly was. Yeah. In fact, I believe the man in the yellow hat did try to cease and desist, but did not work on Pharrell.
Let us now stop and find out from Kim what's happening in the bottom of the hour. I pray to God it's about a gator.
Well, of course it is. Even Mayor Lightfoot has her eyes on the Humboldt Park Lagoon.
And the traffic is brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Illinois DCFS under attack. What's gone wrong and what's being done to put things right? Protecting children, examining DCFS this week on WGN-TV News at 9.
That's where Ben Bradley works.
Sure does.
And so, since he does, we talk to him every day.
Yeah, he's a stalwart there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We also work at WGN, but the other place.
How about that?
That you guys don't ever acknowledge in any real form or fashion.
Untrue.
No, I'm just
we
saying
say
that.
Your call letters on the air hundreds of times a day.
That's true.
WGN.
That's right. Good. That's what you're doing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's how it goes.
You're welcome for the free advertising.
All right. Okay, now you have a list of other animals that animal control has also had to commandeer here. Now that we realize that this alligator, which again, you know, this is like every day in Florida this happens, right? This is nothing in Florida. But up here...
Now, in fairness, though, how often in Florida does a NBA mascot dressed as a bull show up at the side of the lagoon to help Alligator Bob catch the Humboldt Park gator? You don't get that in Florida.
No, that's true. True. That's a good point.
Think how hot Benny the Bull had to be there at Lagoon Side.
Oh, God.
Is Benny the Bull in a contract year so he's having to go out and do these things?
The best was he was fully outfitted for almost he looked almost as environmentally appropriate as Alligator Bob. Benny the Bull had like brown cargo shorts on. He had like the safari hat. He was ready to go.
Well, first of all, don't you think that of all of the mascots in this town, he'd be the least useful in this situation? Tommy Hawk, obviously. That's a guy who can see through water.
Yeah.
Right? And maybe dive bomb.
Clark the Cub, not wearing pants. So you don't want to be anywhere near anything with sharp teeth.
Staley. So you see those bears. Every time you have a screensaver on your Apple TV, you're watching the bear eat a fish out of the water.
Oh, that's true. Southpaw,
I think, might get mistaken for the gator.
Similar coloring.
Similar texture as well.
Okay. What else did they find? Read the list.
Oh, got it. Okay. So here you go. June 9th, 2019, they got a coyote, not too exotic. They got a red-tailed hawk. Mm. Chicago Animal Care and Control.
Sure.
Also got a pot-bellied pig.
Oh, geez.
A four-legged chicken. I don't have to tell you how rare that is.
A what now?
A four-legged chicken.
But the colonel could have thought of that before. Could have bred for that. Think of the money he'd save.
You'll be happy to know this is not the first alligator Chicago Animal Care and Control has dealt with. They confiscated an alligator in October of 2017. Mm-hmm. You'll love this. After its owner went to prison.
Yeah.
Therefore, not able to care for him.
Right.
They got a peacock, a couple of peahens, an Arctic
fox. What's a peahen?
I don't know. I assume it's like a...
Is that a female peacock?
Spelled P-E-A, peahen.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then, not to be outdone, the Cook County Animal Control teams back in 2011 went into Berwyn, where they found two kinkajous.
I'm sorry, what?
Mm-hmm. Two kinkajous.
What are those?
That would be a cousin of a raccoon. They are typically found in the tropical rainforests of Central and South America.
Oh! I've actually seen these.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw these in down in Argentina.
Yeah, they can actually turn their feet backwards so they can run equally fast in either direction.
Oh, wow.
That's actually a very good skill to have in Chicago.
With the seventh pick in the fourth round of the NFL draft.
The Bulls would like a kinkajou. Maybe that's why Benny the Bull was out there.
And you guys were right. The peahen is the female peacock. Rokan had that one. So
ding.
So if you can just picture it. It would be an exotic bird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of other stuff out there that just hasn't been caught or brought in homes all around the Chicago area. You know that, right?
The Humboldt Park Lagoon is rather famous for being, unfortunately, a dumping ground for exotic pets that outgrow their welcome.
I want to, again, thank Fawn at CLTV. She's found all these animals, and she's putting them up on the screen.
We actually did a story on this yesterday. Very on nice. 6
o'clock Oh, you got them all ready to go?
Yeah, this is a well-oiled machine that we're running over here at the number 9.
Somebody should tell me about that, because I didn't know. There's apparently a gigantic tortoise, too, that was found.
Oh, come on. That's not that exotic.
They're everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Little duckling. I don't know.
Ducklings, they rescue
from
the sewer.
Yeah. Aww.
Mm-hmm. They've actually had 100. The Chicago Animal Control found in June of this year 114 chickens. For those playing along at home, we're told some were hens, but they were mostly roosters. So where do all these varmints go, you might ask?
That would be for cockfighting, would be my guess.
Yeah, I don't think those are
those
pets.
Those are professionals. Yeah. Yeah. What I remember when the coyote got loose downtown?
Oh, yeah.
And ended up in the cold case at Quiznos. Yeah.
Well, that was the end of that Quiznos on Lake Street, wasn't it?
it's tough to come back from that.
Yeah.
Get a couple of drumsticks and a fudgicle.
That was Paul Meinke at Channel 7's claim to fame. He wrote an ode to the coyote.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is... It's an interesting town that we live in.
So, Ben, you were saying that where do they take the animals, these creatures?
Well, gators in the past have gone up. There's actually a wildlife exploratory center up in Lake Forest that takes some of these exotic reptiles in. But there are sanctuaries all over the place. You know, Alligator Bob, of course, is affiliated with the Chicago Herpetological Society.
He's been into work all week.
Yes. By the way, I get a dollar every time I successfully say herpetological.
Yeah, it's good for you because I'm not doing that. Yeah.
Oh, God. That sounds terrible.
Yeah. CHS.
So now is the... We talked to Alligator Rob a couple of days ago.
No relation.
And no relation.
Yeah.
But he's the guy from the one up in Lake Forest.
Yes.
And they don't think they're going to... Once they get Chance the Snapper out of the lagoon, or whatever the hell we're going to call this thing.
It's good.
Once they get it out, they're not going to keep it up there. They're gonna obviously, you know, transport it to a little company of Mary, like everybody does.
You don't think that's a Mount Sinai case? I think they need to go to Mount Sinai.
Too soon.
Yeah.
So the way that we get, they're transporting them to Mount Sinai, and then they're gonna, you know, just to be evaluated, and then I think they're gonna put them in the lake. I don't know.
Let's hope not. The lake, though, has got to be like the equivalent of bottled water to whatever's in the lagoon. The lake really looks clean next to that lagoon water.
Oh, that lagoon does look nasty.
I think they like that murky stuff.
Well, I think I heard an interview with Alligator Rob earlier today where he said that they were concerned. No. Alligator Rob is... I'm being corrected from the producers in the newsroom.
That. That's fantastic.
There's Alligator Bob, who's on the scene right now, and then there's Alligator Rob from the facility up in Lake Forest.
Who would question Ben Bradley?
Unrelated.
Classic producer move.
Unbelievable.
Did you tell her we're live on television and radio
when I'm
here.
On TV, they just shout it across the newsroom at me.
Yeah.
But anyway, ladies, as I was saying, Alligator Rob said there's actually concern that the lagoon is so bacteria infested that they would have to quarantine the gator for a little while, do some blood and fecal samples to make sure it's okay.
Come out glowing a little bit. You
okay
know?
With what? It's an alligator. How sick could it get?
It survived for
have you driven past
20,
the Humboldt Park Lagoon? Yeah,
25 million years of alligators surviving. They've been around since like all the prehistoric creatures. But the Humboldt Park Lagoon takes one down. I mean, they've survived everything.
Maybe that was where all the dinosaurs went to water before.
Oh, gosh.
It's possible.
Before the end.
It's very possible. All right, Ben. You're done.
Always
nice to see
to
you.
With you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Bye. Ben Bradley, WGN-TV News. You can see him starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon right there on the Niner. Let's check in now with Kim Gordon. She's got the news.
Oh, it gets painful every time.
Every time. Gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
You poor thing. So I hear we got the band back together.
Yes, we got the band back together for the moment here. We got Mr. Richard Roper in the studio. And then Michael.
Hey, there he is.
Michael, Michael, Rich, and I spent many hours together over the years.
It's true.
some things.
Very true.
Had to smuggle him out of a convention once.
Smuggle him in and out. Yeah, that was really quite a moment. All right, let's talk about the president's about to make a Rose Garden appearance, and we are going to carry that live here because everybody seems to be wanting to carry it live.
Best roses ever.
Now the president was said was going to try to put the census question back up on the census, the citizenship question back up on the census. And now ABC News is reporting, but I think they're the only ones. I don't know if NBC has jumped in on this, that he's going to ask the Labor Department to put out a separate questionnaire or to
with
do
no answer.
Right. And who cares if they answer or they don't answer it? Right? I mean, the census is really about funding.
Yeah.
But the whole idea here, as we know, I mean, you ran the Republican Party. You know there's a lot of people in both parties who are sort of the evil geniuses of the parties that are always thinking about ways that they can screw over the opponent. And you know that not necessarily in fair ways, or not necessarily in democratic ways, with little d, or the kinds of the skullduggery guys, the dirty tricks guys, and this came right out of the idea of this question on the census is right out of the. I mean, there's a memo from one of the dirty tricks guys explaining how it will suppress minority voting.
Jeez,
yeah. Yeah, they're not the smartest guys in the world, though. I mean, they may not do chicanery, but they're not smart about how to hide it. You know, yeah, let's write a memo and send it around so everybody knows what we're thinking. The reality of it, but the reality for the president is he lost, and that more than anything else ticks him off. The Supreme Court did not deliver the kind of decision he thought he was baked in. And the Chief Justice made it very clear, dude, you just can't come up here and just be as blatantly obvious as you were in saying that, yeah, we want to create some level or degree of fraud and suppress people from to go out and vote. So, yeah, he got his hand smacked, and he's been trying ever since to figure out a way in which he could recover from that. And so this is his next iteration of that. He's going to go out and put out a separate piece of paper that no one's going to answer. And call it a victory.
Well, some people will answer it very, very excited about it. But
some people will be excited about it, and they will answer, and they will be people that he already has and already knows are here.
Right. And he'll like when they get it and they get excited about it.
I feel like there'll be a write-in portion for some folks that'll want to express themselves.
Brought to you by Trump 2020. Trump 2020, as we learned
Trump,
last
Trump, year. Yeah.
All right.
So, Rich, that's the bottom line. This is all about the campaign and how he can lay down the tracks, just like the conservative social media folks who are at the White House today, presumably to talk about how they've been oppressed and suppressed by the mainstream media, but none of them have been blocked on from doing what they do on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, or whatever.
They were tweeting and posting about being oppressed.
The matter is, this is put names to faces.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Michael, they were actually tweeting and Facebooking about how they're being censored, which is odd.
Right, exactly. By the very people that, you know, they said are censoring them. Yes. Right, okay, yeah, they're using their platform to do it. Right.
Twitter, you're the worst on Twitter.
On Twitter.
All right, so now the president woke up this morning.
Like they got a pigeon that they've strapped a note around the foot and sent it out. Right, so let's be serious.
So the president today got up the first thing this morning. Well, I gotta go back and find this because I want to read it directly from Twitter because I read the story about and I was like, it's not possible that he did this, is it? It's not.
Yeah, he was pounding the Diet Cokes, had a lot of energy this morning.
Yeah, this morning he was, even Fox News referred to it as bizarre, his Twitter tirade this morning. So at some point, he referred to himself, and I find this kind of interesting, he referred to himself as not just a stable genius, but also good-looking in a tweet.
I mean, it's the hair. It's the hair. We know. We figured that out. It's the hair. That is the core of what draws people to him. So, he's good-looking, and he's a stable genius. I mean, that combination.
Crazy.
Ro, it's amazing. I mean, you're a stable genius. You're gorgeous. You're the smartest person we've ever seen, whoever occupied the White House, notwithstanding the Rhodes Scholars and others who've held the position.
Did he take this down? Hold on a second. This is interesting. Because it appears that he may have. That would be fascinating.
I'd be surprised if he's taking it down because I can't even recall a tweet that the president
said. I don't think he knows how to, but maybe someone
which would be
show
far
him.
Worse than calling himself gorgeous and a stable genius.
Because I can't find it on his tweet and his feed now.
Maybe.
And I know it happened because Fox News said it happened. I mean,
I saw that too.
They wouldn't make that up. Wow.
Junior will delete his particularly boneheaded tweets. He'll put something up and then someone will point out, you know, something to him. He'll take it down because he thinks no one will screen grab it. But I agree with Michael. I don't know if POTUS has ever, because he never, as he's said in interviews, he's never had to apologize for anything in his life because he's never made any mistakes, just like Jesus.
If he took down a tweet, that's a form of an apology. That's a form of saying, "Oh, my bad, my mistake. I'm sorry, I wasn't sensitive."
I think my throat. You know, I think my phone just threw up, and that's what happened because that's why I can't find it in here. But because I'm told that it's still there.
But, well, there is I'll have to look into this, but I know there's a site that keeps track of all of his tweets, and they are saying that he deleted that tweet. The very nervous and skinny, because he said, remember he talked about the very nervous, skinny version of Pocahontas as your president rather than what you have now, so great looking and smart, a true stable genius. That was this morning.
Now,
that was right.
Jeff says he's looking at it right now. Where are you looking at it? You looking at it actually on Twitter? I can't believe that we have to produce it like this, but that is, read that tweet again, because they're saying that it's been taken down? Stamina.
This one site, here's
that's
it. Now,
cool.
Jeff is running it. Boy, this is it. We're all over this. Tweetgate.
Big subject today at the White House Social Media Summit will be tremendous dishonesty, bias, discrimination, suppression practiced by certain companies. Mm-hmm. We will not let them get away with it much longer. The fake news media will also be there, but for a limited period. I don't know what that means. Fake news is not as important or as powerful as social media. They have lost tremendous credibility since that day in November 2016 that I came down the escalator with the person who was to become your future first lady. Now, that was not in November of 2016.
He's so confused.
Right?
That's when he was elected.
Right.
He's talking about when he announced he was running the year before.
Right.
Right. The dates are, you know, the dates get sketchy when you get up there like this.
Well, you start to wonder if maybe the Ambien was, you know, this is like, yeah. you know how somebody takes an Ambien and they get on an airplane, try to put their head through the cockpit door? That's what this tweet is
like. They wake
up
with their underwear on the outside of their pants, so they don't know what happened.
When I ultimately leave
office in 6 years or maybe 10 or 14, just kidding, they will quickly go out of business for lack of credibility or approval from the public. That's why they will all be endorsing me at some point, one way or the other. Could you imagine having Sleepy Joe Biden or Alfred E. Newman or the very nervous and skinny version of Pocahontas 1024th? As your president, rather than what you have now, so great looking and smart, a true stable genius. Sorry to say that even social media would be driven out of the business along with, and finally, the fake news media. Wow.
The thing about that tweet that's so profoundly important for your listeners to appreciate and understand is that we were nothing before Trump, and we will be nothing after Trump. So here we are.
We'll actually go out. All of it's going to go out of business. I mean, it's hard to...
Everything goes out of business.
Yeah, I mean, you have to parse
every,
that.
Every major publication is going to endorse him for president over Joe Biden or whomever. And,
if not, they're going to go out of business.
The other day on Nicole Wallace's show, we were talking about Jimmy. And you know Jimmy. Jimmy's the guy that Trump tells us about all the time.
Oh,
Jimmy Jimmy, you know, I talked... And I made the point that we need to stop playing this silly game and recognize who Jimmy is and where he lives. Number one, Jimmy doesn't exist. And to the extent that he does, he exists between Trump's two eyeballs. That's it. Yeah, that's Jimmy.
It's Fight Club. It's Edward Norton and Brad Pitt. Spoiler alert, there's only one guy there the whole time.
Right. So, you know, anyone who puts out a tweet like that, you know, I'm a stable genius, I'm a gorgeous guy, and I'm smarter, better than everybody in the room, and everything will collapse when I go away. Folks, take it for what it is. And understand just how dangerous the space and time we're in right now. I mean, going into with all the pressure points that have popped up over the last few years, whether globally or domestically, starting with immigration issues that we're seeing play out now, and the president's threatening to, corral and arrest people this weekend, break up families more so than has already been done starting this weekend, to where we are on the global stage. And, you know, my message at this point is we've got to be serious about us. We've got to wake up. This has been the longest weekend at Bernie's in our nation's history.
We
need to wake the hell up.
I'm glad you, Michael Steele, woke. I do think that this weekend is going to be a complete poop show that I cannot imagine how this is going to go down. And what are the optics going to be as these ICE agents, you know, fully... militarized guys are, you know, they're going to be coming in on, in, you know, large vehicles wearing, you know, full tactical gear, kicking indoors, in the United States of America, raiding homes. I mean, I understand that the immigration system is broken. I understand there are people here that are here illegally, but the images of going into homes and ripping individuals out in plastic handcuffs and parading them out to a vehicle and taking them away, that sort of imagery is not the United States of America.
It's not the United States of America, Ro. I agree with you. But where is the outrage to it?
Where are the Republicans on this? Why aren't the Republicans...
No, but this is... But wait a minute. At a certain point, look, it's like this. If you know if you have a family, like your child is married to somebody who's not doing them right, right? And you are observing this, and other family members are sort of saying, well, why isn't his daddy or her daddy coming and making sure that this behavior stops? And you don't. At some point, another family member has got to say, enough. We can't sit back and let this happen. We can't watch these children be manhandled this way or abused this way. We can't watch these families go through what they go through. So it's not, I mean, I'm beyond expecting members of my party to step up and
corral the president's behavior, condemn it, to call it out, to take legislative action to rebuke it. I'm beyond that. So now I'm looking to my neighbors. I'm looking to my family. I'm looking to my community. I'm looking to the rest of the American people to say, this is not us. And we refuse to do it. I don't see the protests. I don't hear the clamoring. So my concern is that people have just gotten to the point where they kind of accept it and figure someone else is going to fix it. Someone else is going to work it out. And meanwhile, that bad behavior becomes mainstream, becomes mainlined. And it's obvious. I mean, the president, how many subpoenas has he thrown up in the Congress's face and basically flipped them the bird and said, I dare you?
Yeah.
All of them. And what's the consequence? None. I mean, so, you know, where do we draw the line?
I know.
Where do we as citizens draw the line? Don't look to the parties. The parties are inept political tools that can be manipulated and have not the kind of center grounding that you need in a moment like this, because that's not what they're built for. They're not built for that. They're built to support whoever is their head. In the Republicans' case, it's Donald Trump. In the Democrats' case, it's Nancy Pelosi. And so you see the fight on the left with Nancy right now over impeachment and how her base is beginning to form itself and act a lot like the Freedom Caucus did. When they came in, they moved from being Tea Party to Freedom Caucus to kicking out two speakers of the House.
Right.
So you see the parties themselves are not going to be relevant players here. It's going to be we the people. Just my 3 cents.
Well, the
or
will,
two and a half.
Well, the will of the people is going to be it's going to be tested this weekend, because you're going to see. I cannot imagine how, you know, as ICE, and they're going to do it in Chicago. You know, these trucks are going to be going
right in your backyard,
right down 18th Street or 22nd or whatever, and going house to house. I mean, I cannot imagine. There are images that are in my head from images taken in the middle part of the 20th century, whether it was in Germany or in Europe in the 1950s and 60s, you know, rounding people up, enemies of the people.
Yeah.
And are these, and it's, okay, I get it. There are people that are not legally here, but that's an immigration issue, right? And these are, and if they're going to go round up criminals, it's one thing, but to say that because they came in here illegally, that's who they're rounding up. How are they going to discern between the two? And I cannot imagine that a lot of the people who are being tasked with this are looking forward to this moment.
Exactly.
Right? And that's the other piece. And then you've got...
Well, not according to what we've read recently, how some of the border officials and agents have really taken a dim view to their charge and have engaged in, at least on Facebook, in rhetoric and behavior that is not appropriate. So if I'm an immigrant who's here illegally, who probably in most cases, as the studies have shown, have the intent to want to fix it and get it right, there is no incentive for them to come out of hiding. I mean, it's like anything, you know, when you have cities do, you know, they want to try to get guns off the street. What do? They do a buyback program, right? So what's the nature of the buyback program? They try to make it as easy as possible for people who own their guns, who feel, okay, yeah, I don't need 17. I'll just have 15, and they give up two guns, right? But the point is, they make it as easy as possible for people to do that. And there's no different here. If you want to exact a particular behavior, you've got to create a process in which that behavior is encouraged.
Right.
You want people to come out of the shadows, put in place an immigration policy and program that will allow them to do that. And people get it. I mean, I've talked to enough Hispanics and other immigrants who say, yeah, if I get caught, I realize I'm going to have to do this, have to get to the back of the line. I'm going to have to do certain things, et cetera, et cetera. So they know what that is at stake.
Right, right. But and there's people legitimately that have gone through this. We got to run because the president's going to start here in a few minutes. So I got to get some commercial.
I don't think he's going to be talking much because it's pouring down rain where I am. And I'm 15 minutes from the city, so he may get rained on.
Why would they do that?
Did I laugh? I didn't mean to laugh.
Why would what kind of a god would do that? All right, thank you very much, Michael.
Thanks,
talk to
Michael.
You next week.
You got it, guys.
All right, there goes Man of Steel, Michael Steele, right there. Let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
And as we've been talking about, President Trump set to make an announcement on his push to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census.
Bro Con Show with Anna DeBlantis. Richard Roper in today.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Roper, later on, is going to be reviewing for your viewing pleasure The Lion King. The redo of The Lion King.
I don't know how they got those lions to talk, man. We're going to have to find the trainer. Better than even Alligator Bob. Amazing.
Is there? I can't remember in The Lion King if there's an alligator. There should be. It's a jungle, right?
There's no alligator, I don't believe. There's some Disney animated film that did have a gator.
That would be Peter Pan. But it's a crocodile.
P squared. It's a croc?
Yep.
Did Jungle Book have one, too?
I don't think
they did. I don't think Jungle Book did.
Lauren's right.
Jungle Book had the snake.
Happy Gilmore had one.
It's a Disney classic, too.
Right, so all the
Chubbs, rest in peace.
Yeah. Well, I say we just leave this gator there, and it just gives Humboldt Park another kind of a sort of a interesting
personality. Yeah,
yeah, like one of those things. Just, it adds just a little bit more danger than there already has been there. Yeah. Not the worst thing in the world. All right, we're awaiting the president. He's going to go to the Rose Garden and make a big announcement about the citizenship question. But I think they're also going to ask him about. If he takes questions from the fake media, as he called it today, that's going out of business when he's gone, when he leaves office in 14 years, he Maybe. Tweeted today.
Very skinny.
I'm Still not there. Leaving.
It's very strange. I mean, honest to God, I can't believe, I wouldn't, you know, when Mitch McConnell wakes up in the morning and he sees this stuff, when...
he's a turtle.
When Elaine Chao, wakes up, Mitch,
jeez.
Time to get up, Mitch. And he toddles out, he gets a phone call.
Jeez.
Probably on an old phone, right? Like a dumb phone.
Oh, yeah.
And picks it up.
No, you're kidding.
Oh, gosh. And they tell him what he just said. The president wants to extend his time in office. Is that okay?
Well, I guess we're just going to have to say it's okay. Putting together his Taster's Choice coffee and his Wheaties for breakfast. I've said this for years now. If you just had someone stand on a random street corner reading Trump's tweets verbatim, someone would call authorities and say there's a crazy person on the street corner. just read his tweets with no context.
Oh, man.
It's very among the many other bizarre things, the fact that he throws in that he's so good looking is just so odd.
Yeah.
Who says that about themselves?
I know. I mean, I'm assuming, and maybe I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that he's doing that in sort of a smirky kind of, you're good looking, you know, sort of like his charming. That's his charm.
I think he thinks he's very good looking.
Well, yes, we know that. But you wouldn't spend that much time on your hair at that point.
Yeah. Well, he does have the physique of a 35-year-old Adonis. There's no doubt about that.
Well, he's got a lot of 35-year-olds have that physique. All right, I know is that I'm scared. That's the only thing I know. I woke up this morning. I started reading that. And I'm like, I can't. That's not possible.
And yet, the scary thing is, in all these polls, he's barely losing to half of the Democratic candidates right now.
Right,
right now, this is the time where they should all be up by like 40 points over him. Right?
Yeah.
Because they're probably too close to call against Buttigieg.
I don't know. I mean, the people, I'm starting to believe that there is a clear path to victory. I kept thinking that America's going to get tired. There's going to be Trump fatigue, you know? But no, maybe not.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe not. As long as the economy is good, people will go, wow, the economy is good. I guess we'll just have to put up with the fact that the Constitution doesn't count.
He has 100% of the vote of the crazy people who get on their phones when they see black people at parks or in front of their houses.
That's true.
That's an ever-increasing number.
And those that, you know, don't know where Puerto Rico is actually located.
Yeah.
Right. It did, right.
And say, be listen, like, who cares about a foreign country like Puerto Rico? That's a good one.
The that is what pollsters call the low information voter.
Okay. That's a good way of putting it.
That's what they say. It's effervescent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And okay, so is this what America is? I thought America was a little bit more sophisticated and wasn't going to fall for the music man, right? It wasn't going to fall for the guy, the huckster. Because this is a lot, because there's a lot of hucksterism. He makes stuff up. A lot of stuff he says is going to get done isn't going to get done. He threatens things and then says, well, we visit it in 2 weeks, and they never revisit it. Because he realizes that 2 weeks is the cutoff, right? Remember, he was going to release all the emails in 2 weeks?
He always says everything. He's been saying that about 2 weeks forever. Listen, we're not that sophisticated. We've spent the better part of a week fixating on an alligator in a pond.
But that's why we're doing it. I'm going to tell you something. We would not be as interested in this stinking alligator as we are now if we weren't afraid of what was going on in the real news.
We need our diversions. There's no doubt about that.
Another thing.
I'm thinking of letting a baby rhino loose in Millennium Park just for another diversion. Wally the rhino is that, and then we'll find, you know, Rhinoceros Ronald who will show up.
It turns out rhinoceros is a very dangerous animal, Rich.
Just a little baby rhino. I know. See, that's the problem. You watch The Lion King, you think they're all your friends and they'll talk to you.
Is it Pumbaa? Is it
the antelope? You know, they're hanging out with the lions in that movie. And that ain't what's happening out there on the Serengeti. You know what I'm saying? I believe that's fake. I think it's a fake movie.
All right, well, we'll find out at 6 o'clock
fake
if
views.
If it's good. And you'll also tell us about Stuber.
Yeah.
The Kumail Nanjiani movie.
Listen, if your name is Stu and you drive for Uber, you're going to be called Stuber.
Right. As we learned from Kim Gordon, her husband's name is Stuart, and since he drives the kids around, he's called Stuber, too.
So he's got a movie now. Got to get him a poster of this.
Yeah. All right, let us now check in with Kim, find out what's coming up in the news, and then we'll talk to Jason Benetti about part two of the White Sox 2019 campaign.
Yes,
great. We start tomorrow night in Oakland, California. We'll do a few minutes with him, and then we'll wait for the president to step up to the microphone here and tell us what he's going to do.
And as you said, we are waiting for President Trump on his new plan to put a citizenship question on the 2020 census. And
traffic being brought to you by Permaseal Basement Systems.
For
this is the part where you normally yell at me.
I know.
All right.
Well, how about this, Rokan? This week, Chicago's best is hitting the streets in the city and the suburbs. Join the team as they roll out Chicago's best food trucks. Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
My friend Jason Benetti is joining us. The voice of the Chicago White Sox on your television.
Yes, sir.
Wherever the television happens to, wherever they land on a television station. You just never know.
I got them all on my favorites. On my, you know, you can list your favorites on your thing. So I got all the stations that Jason will be on. I have them. So I only have to go through like four or five, and there are the White Sox.
There you go. All right. The second half of the season starts tomorrow night in Oakland, California. And, it was a very exciting first half. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Not as exciting as your fire pit, but, you know, as first half go, there's a lot of improvement. The Sox had 9 more wins this year at the break and 10 fewer games. There's a lot to be excited about, not only in that standings improvement, but more specifically in individual players who we talked about at the ballpark the other day. I mean, there's so much self-individual team improvement that you can't help but want the games to start again just to see where this whole thing ends up in 2019.
My sense is that we're going to be seeing more people coming up here in the next couple of weeks, I would imagine, out of the minor leagues. Am I sort of whistling in the graveyard here or trying to maybe too enthusiastic about the fact that we might see Luis Robert come up here?
No, I don't. I mean, he's going to AAA right after the All-Star break, which is a signal, you would imagine, that he has owned AA to the extent that the Sox are just done with him at that level. There's no need for him to be there anymore. And then it's one more level to conquer. Question is, can he conquer it in 2 months? Do they want to give him just a cursory glance in 2019 in September once the rosters expand? There are other considerations there as well in terms of the 40-man roster and who you're going to pull off and all that stuff. But they're just looking beyond Luis Robert, there are other considerations for that purpose in the offseason as well. But I think when it comes to Robert, I know how excited Ricky Renteria is about him. I know how excited Sox fans are about him. I know there's a lot to love, and he goes and plays in the Futures game again. There's so much there in terms of hope and optimism. Even if he doesn't show up at the end of this year, I would imagine very early next year he'll be around doing his brand of athleticism and demolition that we've seen in the minors so far.
Yeah.
Jason, you mentioned the improvement this year. It's obvious, as you mentioned, the amount of wins they've had at the break compared to what they had last year. Do you feel like they've sort of jumped ahead in this rebuild a little bit sooner than we all anticipated? Because it feels like they made some real big improvements this first half, I think more than people were anticipating.
I think in certain pockets there's more than anticipated. The thing that I would caution is the rebuild, if untouched by the grim reaper of injury, would be in totally different shape as well. And that's not the case because of Kopech, because of Carlos Rodon and all that. I mean, some people look at rotation and say, how is this sustainable in 2019's second half? And I don't begrudge them for saying it. It's been a rough start for the rotation other than Giolito. And then you have Dylan Cease coming up to take up one of those places for the rest of the year, which provides some excitement and hope as well. But I think it's on schedule. I think there are certain parts that the Sox would rather have different, and there are certain parts that the Sox are really excited about, including the development of Yoan Moncada and Giolito, and the advent of James McCann's not only power but assistance for the young pitchers especially. So I think there's a lot to be excited about, but I don't think it's at the pinnacle of the rebuilds around baseball right now simply because of the injuries.
Yeah, Jason, you make some great points there too. And with McCann and even Lourie Garcia, these guys, the production we're getting from them, you know, it wouldn't be unrealistic to say it might not be quite the same level in the second half. They're, especially McCann, you know, the fatigue of catching. What, and speaking of injuries, I wanted to ask you, what's the timetable, do you know, for Tim Anderson's return?
You know what? I'm actually jumping on the plane with the team in about an hour, so I wish we were talking a little bit later. But I haven't been in the loop during the All-Star break of exactly how Tim's progressing. But I did see him the other day. He's out of the boot. He says he's feeling really good. So I would imagine the timetable is right about where they said initially. And so, you know, I don't want to guess, but I do know that there haven't, at least when I saw him on Sunday, it didn't seem like there had been any setbacks. In fact, just the opposite.
Yeah. Good. I want to ask you, as a baseball guy, Jason Benetti, I want to ask you, the Atlantic League is experimenting. Apparently, Major League Baseball asks the Atlantic League to try out new technologies and new rule changes to see how they affect playability. And so they've got a couple of them. Today they started with the electronic umpire, the robot umpire, as it's being called, which is calling balls and strikes based on a similar technology as what you guys use in television, right? That box that lets them know. And then the umpire, he gets cued in his ear whether it was a ball or a strike based on the computer, but then he can overrule that if he wants to, which that seems fraught with peril. What is your thought on the robot umpire?
Well, first of all, I mean, so many people sit at home and say the people in the TV should definitely decide on the rules of baseball. No, not at all. That nobody has ever said.
So no one ever.
Yeah. I've talked to a couple Sox pitchers, and Stoney has a fairly similar opinion, I think. A couple Sox pitchers who I've talked to have told me, like, hey, if you throw a really good curveball, you can game this electronic strike zone. Because if you clip the very front part of the plate and it drops out of nowhere down to the ground, you can essentially have a ball that bounces off home plate that's a strike. So there are ways to manipulate it, and that's why I'm really, to answer your question, I'm really glad the Atlantic League has this partnership with Major League Baseball, because we can test out these new rules. And when people hear these rules, they say, oh, goodness gracious, my pearls, what's happening to my Major League Baseball that I knew? But if you read up further on the earlier rules of the game, I mean, what, we're 50 years into having a DH, right? So that was different. When we originally started playing, there was a fair foul rule. So if a ball bounced in the infield fair and then you spun it foul and it rolled into foul territory, that could be a hit. I mean, that was legal to do before the bases. Before, when we first started, if a ball bounced on the fly on one hop and into a fielder's glove, that was an out. That sounds, all of those sound totally ridiculous nowadays, but they're absolutely rules that were in the early stages of baseball. Right. This is a game that has always tinkered with its rules, and just because we haven't had major changes in recent memory doesn't mean that that's not the history of baseball in general. So I'm all for trying them. It doesn't mean every innovation is going to work, but if you just sit on what the rules are, I think you're behind.
I also like their... I think they may be experimenting with this, or it's under consideration for them to experiment with it. Stealing a first base.
Yeah, second half of the season, they're now going to implement you can steal first.
Now, and you stop and you think to yourself, now, how can you steal first base? Not just on a drop pitch, right? Or a drop third strike. You can, on any dropped pitch, or if the ball doesn't land directly in the catcher's mitt, if it bounces in to the catcher's mitt, you can just take off on any pitch toward first base. Does that? I don't. It sounds exciting to me.
I'd hire Usain Bolt, put him in the left-handed batter's box, and just tell him to go. OPS.
Yeah, you wait for a breaking ball,
right?
And you just say like, "All right, I'm gonna sprint to first." I mean, the idea is we want to have at bats happen more quickly. We want to have more people in play or balls in play. So it's a creative way to get yourself to that point. I'm just sad for the Major League Baseball cliche department because there are so many people who say, well, you can't steal first about somebody like Billy Hamilton.
Right.
And they're just going to have to take a giant hammer to their cliche.
Fantastic.
And it's too bad. I mean, people are so entrenched. Why would we do that to them?
I implemented that in a T-ball league years ago. I told the kids, listen, if you swing and miss, go ahead and steal first.
Right. But you were ahead of the game.
I mean, Chase.
It's amazing how pioneering the Rokon show was.
That's true.
And noted.
That's really true. A lot of people did not realize that, Jason.
It's
absolutely true.
It's actually true.
Jason Benetti, our friend, thank you so much for being with us. Travel safe and have fun in Oakland.
Thanks. I want to know, I saw the tweet, I want to know what Richard thought about the Lion King.
Well, you'll have to go to the WGN website of the Rokon show in just a couple of hours, Jason, and you'll be able to
get internet.
Review.
You get internet on the plane?
We do get internet on the plane, yeah.
Yeah, go to the app and listen live at 6 o'clock.
I'm excited. I'm pretty angry you couldn't give me a tease.
All right, give him a tease.
I'll get over it.
Yeah, give him a tease.
Well, it's in color and in focus. I can tell you that much so far, Jason.
Oh, look at that.
I love it. All right. I love it. Always love talking to you all.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Jason.
That's a good guy.
Take care.
All right, let's check in with the news. And then we believe that the president, when he steps up to the microphone, we'll go right to him at the White House. The president is going to make a major immigration announcement, he says, the White House says, in the Rose Garden. And we'll take you there when it happens. But first, here's Kim with the news. This is the president.
That question, and that's after spending billions and billions of dollars. There used to be a time when you could answer questions like that very easily. There used to be a time when you could proudly declare, I am a citizen of the United States. Now they're trying to erase the very existence of a very important word and a very important thing, citizenship. They're even coming after the Pledge of Allegiance in Minnesota. I'm proud to be a citizen. You're proud to be a citizen. The only people who are not proud to be citizens are the ones who are fighting us all the way about the word citizen. Today I'm here to say we are not backing down on our effort to determine the citizenship status of the United States population. I stand before you to outline new steps my administration is taking to ensure that citizenship is counted so that we know how many citizens we have in the United States. Make sense? We will defend the right of the American people to know the full facts about the population, size of citizens and non-citizens in America. It is essential that we have a clear breakdown of the number of citizens and non-citizens that make up the U.S. populations. Imperative. Knowing this information is vital to formulating sound public policy, whether the issue is health care, education, civil rights, or immigration. We must have a reliable count of how many citizens, non-citizens, and illegal aliens are in our country. The Department of Commerce sensibly decided to include a citizenship question in the 2020 census, as has been done many, many times throughout the history of the United States. Unfortunately, this effort was delayed by meritless litigation. As shocking as it may be, far-left Democrats in our country are determined to conceal the number of illegal aliens in our midst. They probably know the number is far greater, much higher than anyone would have ever believed before. Maybe that's why they fight so hard. This is part of a broader left-wing effort to erode the rights of the American citizen and is very unfair to our country. The Supreme Court ultimately affirmed our right to ask the citizenship question, and very strongly it was affirmed. But the Supreme Court also ruled that we must provide further explanation that would have produced even more litigation and considerable time delays. The case is already in three federal district courts that have been, to be totally honest, extremely unfriendly to us. These delays would have prevented us from completing the census on time. It's deeply regrettable, but it will not stop us from collecting the needed information, and I think even in greater detail and more accurately. Therefore, we are pursuing a new option to ensure a complete and timely count of the non-citizen population. Today, I will be issuing an executive order to put this very plan into effect immediately. I am hereby ordering every department and agency in the federal government to provide the Department of Commerce with all requested records regarding the number of citizens and non-citizens in our country. They must furnish all legally accessible records in their possession immediately. We will utilize these vast federal databases to gain a full, complete, and accurate count of the non-citizen population, including databases maintained by the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration. We have great knowledge in many of our agencies. We will leave no stone unturned. The Census Bureau projected that using previously available records, it could determine citizenship for 90% of our population or more. With today's executive order, which eliminates longstanding obstacles to data sharing, we're aiming to count everyone. Ultimately, this will allow us to have an even more complete count of citizens than through asking the single question alone. It will be, we think, far more accurate. The Census Bureau can use this information, along with information collected through the questionnaire, to create the official census. In other words, as a result of today's executive order, we will be able to ensure the 2020 census generates an accurate count of how many citizens, non-citizens, and illegal aliens are in the United States of America. Not too much to ask. This will greatly inform a wide array of public policy decisions. This information is also relevant to administering our elections. Some states may want to draw state and local legislative districts based upon the voter-eligible population. Indeed, the same day the Supreme Court handed down the census decision, it also said it would not review certain types of districting decisions, which could encourage states to make such decisions based on voter eligibility. With today's order, we will collect all of the information we need to conduct an accurate census and to make responsible decisions about public policy, voting rights, and representation in Congress. In everything we do, we will faithfully represent the people of the United States of America. I would like now to introduce Attorney General Bill Barr to the podium. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. President, and congratulations on today's executive order, which will ensure that we finally have an accurate understanding of how many citizens and non-citizens live in our country. As the Supreme Court recognized, it would be perfectly lawful for the federal government to ask on the census whether individuals are citizens of the United States. And it's entirely reasonable to want to know how many citizens and non-citizens there are in the United States. In fact, the federal government has routinely asked questions relating to citizenship ever since the 1820s. But while the Supreme Court correctly recognized that it would be entirely appropriate to include citizenship questions on the census, it nevertheless held that the Commerce Department did not adequately explain its decisions for doing so on the 2020 census. Because, as the Supreme Court recognized, the defect in the Commerce Department's decision was curable with a better record, the President asked me to work with Secretary Ross to determine whether there remained a viable path for including a citizenship question on the census. I did so. In my view, the government has ample justification to inquire about citizenship status on the census and could plainly provide rationales for doing so that would satisfy the Supreme Court. And therefore, there is no question that a new decision to add the question would ultimately survive legal review. The problem is that any new decision would be subject to immediate challenge as a new claim in the three ongoing district court cases. In addition, there are injunctions currently in place.
All right, this is the Attorney General William Barr speaking. We're going to go back to the Rose Garden here in a second if the President takes any questions, because we are anticipating that he may well do that. And William Barr is trying to explain some of the legalese of what happened here. So the announcement today by the President is this, that he is going to tell his labor secretary, Wilbur Ross, who is also standing there. I will bring that up if he comes up, because he's always entertaining. Because he gets a little lost in his own sentences like I do. And I always think that's entertaining. But they're going to have the Labor Department put out a separate questionnaire asking citizenship. But the other, and kind of in sort of a menacing way, the President did say this, that they are going to cull the records from all these other agencies, Homeland Security, Social Security Administration, the IRS, to try to figure out how many citizens, not by asking the question, but try to figure out how many citizens and non-citizens there are. Now, to me, when he's doing that, what it appears that he is trying to say to two different groups of people, to his supporters who want him to be as tough as he possibly can be on immigration. Right. He's saying, I'm doing something, and we're going to go find those people, those illegals. We're going to go find them in the system, because we're finally going to be the ones looking at it, and we're the ones who can do it, whereas the Social Security Administration, they're not really incentivized to go look for illegals. Yeah. I am. This is going to be my cause. It's going to be my cause in 2020, and I'm going to go help. I'm gonna keep you safe by getting rid of all those illegals who are picking peaches.
Yeah, and he's saying the opposition is doing everything they can to thwart him because the numbers are higher than anybody would have believed. That's one of his classic moves, more than anybody would have thought. And he's saying so he's painting them as the, you know, they're the anti-Americans who want to protect the illegals.
Protect the illegals because they're trying to get the illegals to vote, to vote them in. When actually the reason that the Supreme Court ruled the way that it ruled, and when you read their Supreme Court ruling about adding the citizenship question, it's pretty startling to learn that there is other information that they wanted from the Labor Department, because there is now, in the Southern District of New York case, which is one of the cases that they were reviewing here, the Supreme Court was reviewing, there is a woman whose father died. She went into his computer. She found these documents of him informing the government about, or the Trump administration about, how exactly this would actually be good for restricting the vote.
Right.
Here's the President. He just walked off. All right. That's it.
Yep.
Said hello, said goodbye. All right. Didn't let Wilbur Ross talk.
Nope.
Actually, Wilbur Ross is behind him now trying to get in the door. I'm surprised they didn't shut him out.
I forgot my card key. I don't have a fob.
I got Wilbur. I'll never forget that when he got Wilbur Ross. People say, "How'd you get Wilbur?" And then, then he gets Wilbur, and he goes, "God, Wilbur's an idiot."
Yeah, he'll turn on you.
Yeah, he will. Anyway, that's the thing. That's the interesting piece is that yeah. is that's the kind of the startling. The dirty trickster political types, and they, you know, left and right, they got him. But they, in this particular case, this was a guy who said, you know, this will have a chilling effect on legal citizens wanting to put down their identity, basically. On a census form, because if they do that, then they would be feared that they would be raided. And don't think that for a second that this is not connected to what's going to happen on Sunday, potentially. You know, still another business day before they can announce that they're not going to do it. But the White House has said that these raids are going to start on Sunday, including here in Chicago. I think there's 11 cities that are going to get these INS raids, essentially, ICE raids. And that is, and it's all a way of saying, listen, we're going to be tough. We're going to go after these people. We're going to find them. We're going to find them using the public records. Okay, the Supreme Court said we couldn't put it on this 2020 census right now. The timing's bad, but we're going to find a way anyway.
Yeah.
It's essentially what they are saying there. And, we'll just have to see. Is that going to be a winning issue for the president? Because that's really all this ever comes down to anymore. It's not whether or not it's good public policy or whether or not it's humane or whether or not it's even economically viable. It's does it win him votes and does it excite his base support to come out and vote in November of 2020? Yeah. That's what
he's trying
about.
To keep all the voters he had, all the votes. He's not going to get any new voters unless some idiot in khakis and a tiki torch turned, you know, old enough to vote since a couple years ago, is now 18. So, but he's playing to that base and telling them exactly what they want to hear, which still might be enough to win.
Yeah, might be. Because if his supporters come out, let's say his supporters represent 36%. I think that's kind of the number we keep seeing. So let's say they represent 36% of the electorate. If 90% of 36% of the electorate comes out versus 40% of the remaining 64%, he is going to win.
Yeah, it'd be the same formula. It'd be three million down in the general vote, but up in the Electoral College.
Right.
Which should be called the Electoral Community College, the way things are being run. And I apologize to the community colleges of the world for saying that.
All right, so let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour on the news?
President Trump announcing a new plan to answer the citizenship question that was supposed to appear on the 2020 census.
Coming up, Stories That Matter with Kim Gordon for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Also coming up at the 5 o'clock hour, of course, the top 5 at 5. And then, because every day is a Friday in this week on the Bro Con Show.
It's helped the week go by faster, actually, I think. It's been enjoyable.
For you.
A lot of music.
Well, yeah for me.
Yes, for me. I can only speak for myself.
I hope for the listeners. Oh, my God. These guys want to kill themselves in there. They're working so hard to make this thing seem like it's casual. I've never had to work so hard or see guys work so hard because I don't really work that hard. But see guys work so hard to go, hey, that's fine. They're running around. There's bands getting set
Roadies up. Roadies coming in.
It's one of the craziest things. Well, we want to do live music every day this week. Yeah. This is that week of the year. I mean, you'll see it in other places too because it's All-Star Week. It's a week after the 4th of July. People are still on vacation and it is really the teeth of the summer and
really
people
is.
Do not want to check in with things. Yeah. They want to check out of things. And so we want to address that overwhelming desire this week.
This is that time when you were kids and you'd start to see the back to school racks in the stores and things. And I was like, not yet.
Yeah. Exactly right. That's what I said last week. I said right after the 4th of July, it's back to school season, and it's the worst. The worst. Back to school season should be the day before school starts.
It's a tough one. And they're discounting all the swimsuits and shorts, you know. Get those last days of summer, and come on!
What?
You're already starting to get, invitations about events happening in August and September.
It's the worst. All right. So what we will do is we got all kinds of fun programming coming for you after 5 o'clock. You got Top 5 at 5. We do have live music. We also have Mr. Roper telling us if the summer blockbuster, The Lion King, is, well, is it really, will you feel the love tonight?
I'll tell you, it's polarizing the dweebs and geeks, and I'm speaking of my fellow critics on the internet who have seen it. Some of them just feeling very passionately, saying it's wonderful. Others hating it.
Wow.
Hating it. There's a level of hatred that I'm a little worried about some of these people writing these reviews, quite frankly.
But hatred sells now.
I think a few people might actually believe they made the lions talk and sing. Like real lions, and they shouldn't do that because they're not getting paid the right. It's like, you know, it's like the whole soccer thing all over again.
All right, well, we'll come back. Jeez. We'll find out what's what that's all about. But first, we got the news. Music Thursday, Friday. I mean, every day is Friday this week. I've been trying to explain that. Yeah. I literally had a management moment. That's the band we're going to hear from a little bit later.
Yeah, sounding great.
Gorilla Social. They're
good stuff.
They're great. They are amazing. Yeah. They're in the next room right now getting ready.
Yeah.
You might hear the banging of the drum behind me at some point.
Love it.
That's how it goes.
No worries.
All right. I've tried to explain this to management
right.
That you know what we really need to do here is to lighten the mood in the middle of July,
mm-hmm.
right? It's getting hot. It's getting it's All Star Week. We got these full shows. It's fun. Let's have fun. We should be having fun. And
yeah, Chance the Snapper's having fun.
Right.
Sure. I can't wait.
Right. We got it. We have the most excited alligator ever to get away from whoever, the aquarium he was living in some guy's basement.
Yeah.
To now being, fully out and having fun, and we're all gonna have fun. And they looked at me, and it was one of those expressions that you sometimes get from managers.
Let's put a pin in that row, and
that's exactly right.
Tell you what,
there was like the affirmative nodding of the head, and almost like they wanted to call 911.
What is he saying? Yeah. They'll get it tomorrow when you say every day's Friday because it will be Friday, so that'll be good.
So I just I'm gonna go okay.
All right, it'll all work out.
All right, well. So we got live music coming up. We have the top. This is interesting. Somebody just charted the top 60 summer songs for the last 60 years.
What, you play all 60 songs, Mr. Fun? Is that the idea?
No, that's not. Oh. And then Richard Rupert tells us that The Lion King is in love tonight. What did I say it was?
What is feel it? The love.
Feel. Tonight, wait, is right? it?
Something like that.
What was the name of that song? Lauren. Geez.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Can you feel the love
Circle
tonight?
Circle of Life is what you were trying to think of.
Yeah, but can you feel the love tonight about The Lion King?
It's enough to make kings and vagabonds. Remember that, Elton John?
All right.
Can you feel the love? Hakuna Matata is another one. I mean, there's so many catchphrases and songs that came
That's
from
right, Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata.
To be prepared.
What? That's right, that little thing. That What was the what was the thing? What was that thing? It's like a squirrel. What the hell was it?
The meerkat?
Yeah, the meerkat.
Squirrel. Timon is a big squirrel.
Right. I don't remember. It's like, that's why Disney needs to do a movie like in a city where it's just a pigeon, a squirrel, and a rat. Have got to get home.
This is I used to be considered the cynical one of the bunch. Now, like, Lauren Lapka's sending me gifts of somebody throwing Simba off the cliff.
Come on, that is the funniest ever.
The little cub.
It was hurtful.
I was like, wow.
It made me sad.
She's like, this is funny. And I'm like, no, Simba.
All right, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
Are you a citizen of the United States of America? Oh, gee, I'm sorry. I just can't answer that question. And that's after spending billions and billions of dollars.
That's how the president opened his speech today at the Rose Garden. With those words.
I thought it was a clip of when he first met Melania's parents. Thank you.
Despite having to use his executive powers after a legal defeat at the Supreme Court, the president insists that he's not backing down in the fight to get the citizenship question placed onto the census. He acknowledges he's not going to do that, but what he's going to do instead is he's going to get all the other government agencies to try to count the American people and figure out who's here legally and who isn't.
We will utilize these vast federal databases to gain a full, complete, and accurate count of the non-citizen population, including databases maintained by the Department of Homeland Security and the Social Security Administration. We have great knowledge in many of our agencies. We will leave no stone unturned.
See, that, and I said earlier, and I got some pushback on the socials and all the rest of the places, I said that it was kind of a menacing way of putting that, and I find that to be menacing. What he's saying is, especially for people who are illegals, you're hitting that, you know, you've got Homeland Security, right? That's ICE. You've got Social Security for people who have stolen Social Security numbers or, you know, old Social Security numbers. And we'll leave no stone unturned, right?
We're coming after you.
And we know things, you know, that whole, like, you know, there's vast knowledge in the government. And they're but, I mean, if they knew something, they were activated, they would have done it, right? I mean, that's the other piece. And I get it. I'm not trying to excuse illegal immigration or stealing Social Security numbers or anything like that. I don't want any of that to happen. But what I also do know, living in a big city and having been here my whole life, I know that there are a lot of people who are undocumented, who are here illegal immigrants, whatever you want to say, who work in a lot of different businesses. The restaurant industry, just to name one, that literally when they started with the I-9 program, they lost these groups of people who were using Social Security numbers and paying Social Security tax, but weren't going to get the money back out of Social Security, right? So that's you could say, well, it's illegal, it's wrong, and, you know, if we're not a country if we don't have borders. I understand that. And those are all completely legitimate arguments for why we need to clean up the system. But the other side of this is that there are industries in America that are dependent on these workers and the even flow of these workers. So we got to figure out how to make those two things come together. And this, just by going after people because, you know, the Mexicans are sending their rapists and drug dealers and all the rest of that, the thing that the president said, that put everybody in a defensive position. Yeah. There's another way to tackle this. And this is, and what he's doing here is basically trying to, you know, send another tough guy message. And he's going to do it on Sunday, I'm assuming, that they're going to continue on Sunday and they're going to start raiding these homes.
Well, he'll be golfing, but other people will be doing the work, I'm sure.
Right. Oh my God. Something bad's going to happen in the middle of that. And then the conversation's going to change. That is my fear.
Number four.
Where's the fun? Where's the love tonight?
Here it is. Coming up right here.
Like many Chicago residents, Mayor Lori Lightfoot is following the saga of the alligator in Humboldt Park. She calls it Gatorgate. Lightfoot says she was surprised when she heard reports about an alligator in the West Side neighborhood.
It's always an urban myth that there's alligators here, there, climbing out of toilets and things like that. When I saw what I think is a real picture, I'm pretty surprised. Look, people have exotic taste in pets, and then the pets get big, and then they lose their interest. So I think the larger conversation that we have to have is about people being realistic about the kind of pets that they can bring into their homes.
Oh, yeah. Well, because the people you need to have that conversation with are not realistic. No. Right? It's like, we need to tell these people that's a bad idea. Really? Because those people, they live on bad ideas.
These are the same people who always get, like, you know, bunnies for Easter or Dalmatians, when there's 101 Dalmatian movie come out, little puppies, and then they're like, oh,
No. Those are 10-year-olds.
Those are gateway animals.
I'm telling you.
You're talking about people popping wheelies, taking videos on the expressway going 90 miles an hour.
Those
guys. Not going to die.
Right.
Guy in the back of the truck. He was fun.
Right.
There's a guy riding the truck. And shooting video of himself right in the back of the truck.
Yep. There's that. And then there's people who get boa constrictors and kinds of...
I knew some of those guys.
They want to be tough. And look at my alligator. You don't want to see my alligator.
I remember going to a guy's party in Calumet City, and I kept saying, oh, there's no water in any of these aquariums. And I realized, no, it's not aquariums. You get a little closer. Oh.
It was the spiders or snakes?
Snakes.
Snakes.
Large, very large snakes. Mm-hmm. Marilyn Manson level snakes.
You want to meet my rattlesnake?
Yeah. He'd be yelling at them, telling them he'd eat them if they didn't behave. I don't know how much the snakes can hear.
He only partially defanged.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm telling you, man. Know who these people are. Yeah. You know who they are. Yeah, Lori Lightfoot, who, by the way, it takes all the fun out of all of this.
Oh, come
on. That she's really, no, she doesn't.
She's the mayor.
She doesn't supposed do cute. To be. She refuses to do cute.
Like, she did laugh about it, though.
There's a larger issue here. But no, she's the mayor. She has to be a grown-up about this.
She does go serious.
All right, here she is about the name.
I don't have an opinion about the name. I just hope that the alligator is found and that no one is injured and that we relocate it to a zoo or some other proper venue.
Mm-hmm. See,
that was not fun.
You're not gonna catch
so funny there.
Well, she's not giving you that viral moment. Mayor laughs, and then all of a sudden, we just heard that Chance the Snapper just took off Alligator Bob's left leg. She doesn't want to be the one joking about it without knowing all the facts.
What if the alligator does defeat Alligator Bob?
What's the over-under on that, Kevin? Well, you got a line on that?
I got to tell you something. First of all, the alligator gets bigger by every report. Have you noticed that? It went from 3.5 to 4 to 5 feet now. Unless they know the thing's growing in there. Yeah. And if it's grown 1.5 feet in a day, then I think we got something different on our hands here.
It's Godzilla movies. What if he's like 14 feet, 28 feet?
So he's just not taking the bait? Is that what's going on? All these traps Alligator Bob has set? I don't need the beef. I don't need the chicken legs.
Well, it's possible he's not hungry, and turtles are eating it.
Yeah, turtles and raccoons and other stuff.
They're like, this is fantastic.
half on the water and half on the ground.
Oh, great idea.
Because I didn't know raccoons went swimming for stuff. Right. I mean, maybe they do. I don't know.
Don't hold their breath.
Don't play fetch with your dog near the lagoon.
Oh, jeez.
Pippin!
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Too soon. You guys are terrible.
Where's Pippin?
You know,
I am not going to sit here and let you do a half-assed autopsy on a fish and have the Kittner boys fall over our dock. All right. I'm sorry.
These two nincompoops, they tear up at the Star Is Born, but they laugh at the, puppies and boys being eaten by sharks. Jeez. Priorities.
It was in 1975, okay?
Still. Little guy would have been 50 this year.
He had such a bright future ahead of him. Damn it. Pippin!
His mother's still slapping police chief Brody in the face every time she sees him.
I deserve that.
The mayor's still getting reelected.
Wait, that's one more of Lori Lightfoot? Larry Lightfoot? What is it? Lori Lightfoot, here we go.
You know, and alligators can be very dangerous. They can travel on the land at great speeds, and we want to make sure that nobody in that community was injured. But yeah, initially I thought, is this really real? But it turns out that it very well may be. And apparently Alligator Bob is on the case.
Gosh, he's so famous now, even the mayor. Does anybody know his actual name? Does he have a last name? Even the mayor
of
Chicago.
Oprah. He doesn't need
He's referring to him like, the Cape Crusader.
I'm telling you, man.
The mayor of Gotham
I'm telling you, by the time this is all said and done, they're going to take him into custody because he's the one who planted the alligator. I'm telling you, because for publicity. So the Herpetological Society gets its due.
Classic maneuver.
Yeah.
To spread the brand.
He's the Jesse Smollett of the herpetological world.
I got a great idea,
guys. All right, I might be wrong about this. I have to say that for legal purposes, but I'm suspicious. That's all.
These two brothers who worked with Alligator Bob as trainers
before fleeing the country.
Here we see them at a Target store.
Cletus and Goober.
It was all his idea.
Jeez.
All right.
Come on.
Okay. All right. Maybe not. Still. I have a right to my opinion, even if it's wrong.
Fake views.
Here's Kim. What's coming up in the news?
President Trump may be changing his strategy on the 2020 census, but he's reportedly planning to go ahead with ICE raids this weekend.
Top 5-5 continues on the Rob Con Show with Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper in today. We have worked our way to
number 3.
Last night at the ESPY Awards, Drew Brees gave a special shout-out to the inspiring U.S. women's soccer team. His recognition came during the acceptance speech he got for the record-breaking performance that he had this season. Yeah. New all-time leader in passing yards.
And how about the U.S. women's national team? I'm not sure if they're in the building yet, but I just want you all to know how much fun you've made these last couple weeks, having the chance to watch you each and every step of the way. Your commitment to the game, your love and respect for the game, the way that you represent our country, the way that you love one another, compete with one another, play as a team, you all are inspiring. Congratulations on your accomplishment, and know how much you inspire us all.
Nice.
That was very nice.
How about that?
And Sister Mary Jo got, she got cheated last night.
Yeah, she got ripped off.
Yeah.
Viral moment, and then they give it to a Big Ten gymnast. How is that a viral moment?
Yeah, it was like an actual just filmed routine.
Yeah, I think we should look
into
that.
I want a recount.
I did too. Like, I think that, right.
It doesn't make any sense that they would have that in the same category.
I want to know how many illegals were involved in this.
Because we all know the ESPYs are a sacred award.
Right. Just, they can, you give awards to athletes who have already won awards in their own leagues.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
It is basically the People's Choice Awards of sports. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is kind of goofy. All right, Jack King in at
number 2.
Oh, this was a problem. So a Georgia mom wanted to get a birthday cake for her daughter. So she went to the local Dairy Queen, and she was like, hey, I want you to do a Disney character, Moana.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Unfortunately, what the employee at the Dairy Queen heard was, I want you to do a cake about marijuana.
Oh, boy. That's a mix-up. That's a mix-up.
When she got... the employees immediately realized... None of the employees immediately realized what had happened there. That's the problem. They couldn't figure it out.
I think they thought that she said marijuana because we're from South Georgia. We kind of have an accent, so Moana, marijuana. I guess when they said that I love cartoons, they were like, let's just throw a little pony on there. So they put the little pony on there, and it had red eyes, and it was smoking a joint with a tramp stamp of a pot leaf on its bottom. I was very shocked. I was like, it was hilarious to me. I was very impressed by the artistic, you know, capabilities of them to be able to do the design that they did.
It is impressive.
It sounds like an awesome cake.
Yeah.
Classic mix-up. Sick cake, bro.
Did you say marijuana or Moana?
I'm super high right now.
You know what? Do the My Little Pony. Do the My Little Pony with the red eyes and the marijuana leaf tramp stamp. I love that.
Nice work, Dairy Queen. I didn't even know they did custom, you know, cakes. Nice.
Yeah, right. This might be a promotion for them. Yeah. Maybe this whole thing was a
plan,
a
just plan. Like Alligator yeah. Bob putting the gator in the
Oh, jeez. Here we go.
Number 1.
Okay. A New York bagel shop video has gone viral due to a guy tearing into a woman who ridiculed him on dating sites. 18-year-old Diana Reyes said that she started filming because the man, identified as Chris Morgan, was getting in her face, the face of her friend, a 19-year-old, after Bradley confronted... Wait, I don't even... There's a lot of things going on here.
Okay, so this guy, he's super short. He's like 5 foot tall.
Yeah.
And he started screaming at the people in the bagel shop, saying the women were... He's used to their smirks, and he knew they were all making fun of him, just like they make fun of him on dating sites.
You're great women. Why is that okay?
Why is it okay for women to say, oh, you're 5 feet on dating sites? That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that shit up?
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not scared of you, pal.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Right. So then he was saying that to a guy who looked to be about 6 foot six, but then another guy told him to shut up and then just tackled the little dude. He just tackled him. And this one girl goes, I was just trying to get my bagel.
It's the best viral video in quite some time.
Better than Sister Mary Jo?
Not that good.
Yeah, this should be up for an ESPY next year.
45-year-old guy, he's not a stranger to confrontation. There's an entire YouTube channel dedicated to this guy.
You want to harass me? I'm tired of this bullshit.
Relax.
You want me to go outside? I'll go outside.
I'm asking you what's going on.
Oh, they didn't tell you what's going on? When I worked the big account in Farmingdale about 2 weeks ago at 2 in the morning, I went to get a coffee. This guy goes, how tall are you? Now, I come in here, and this guy asks me, what is your height? I can't even come in here and get a coffee without being harassed. This guy's smirking. He thinks it's funny. Well, let me tell you something. I am fed up. Everywhere I go, I'm fed up.
He said, sorry, I don't know what you want.
You must be this tall for me to go outside and fight you, sir. Sorry.
Top 5 at 5.
Chicago Crypto Capital bringing you Kim Gordon's news. Right here on 720 WGN. Richard Roper in the studio with us in a few minutes. He's going to give us his review of The Lion King, the expected blockbuster of the season, right?
One of the big summer movies for sure.
Yep. I like to count their money before they happen. Although that Aladdin thing didn't go, right?
No, it actually did. Aladdin kind of surprised folks. It, you know, did fairly well here, but big, big worldwide box office. It's going to do $1 billion.
Wow.
Another billion for the Disney guys. You know, they're remaking every single cartoon into a live-action movie. And then they can make those live-action movies into cartoons.
It's true.
Lion King animated. 2047.
Well, I think a lot of these things, too, it remounts their, into, like, on Broadway and all the rest.
Absolutely.
Of
it's brilliant marketing.
Reinvigorates. It's a whole new generation. Because the original Lion King was what year?
94, 25 years ago.
Right.
I'm a little worried, though, if they start doing, like, the Pixar thing, because live-action, like, Finding Nemo would be weird.
I was thinking Monsters, Inc.
Yeah, or Toy Story.
Oh, that would be creepy as hell.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, just leave those be.
Yeah. Although, I think Finding Nemo, that would be good for Buckeye Bob. Or what's the guy's name we got out there?
Alligator Bob.
Alligator Bob.
Clownfish Carl will be all over that one.
All right. In our never-ending quest to make sure that we don't have to work that hard.
Okay.
There is a story today that came out about that's very interesting, the top 50 summer songs of all times.
Oh, boy.
Right? Song of the summer?
Going. Yeah.
Actually, 60. So it turns out this year, anybody want to guess what the summer song is this year?
Probably
anybody.
Something one? By
anybody. Anybody? Bueller.
Old Town Road.
I'm going that new Kelly Clarkson song.
I haven't listened to the radio in forever.
That's good. You're on the radio right now.
Oh my God! She just said that on the radio.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse to the Old Town.
See, now that he's come out as gay, this changes the entire thing for me.
Oh boy.
Is in the bag, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the boots black to match.
Little Nas X.
You have to be exhaling some sort of smoke to really be enjoying this, right?
And Billy Ray, of course, Billy Ray Cyrus.
Yeah, amazing.
Classic Lil Nas X.
Yep.
Is that really what's like circulating every 10 minutes on the popular hot radio?
Yes.
I don't know anything about like music radio stations.
Huge play.
That's so awful.
The Spotify's?
Yes. Yes. It is. I mean, no matter where you go, you hear that song.
And playing a lot of bars.
Yes, it's got a catchy groove to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of white people jumping. This is my jam at parties now. Shut up.
What do they say?
This is my jam.
This is your jam.
This is my jam, everybody.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. I'm gonna muffin top.
I'm gonna bring that back. I'm gonna bring it. That's my jam back.
Baseball players are using it as walk-up music.
Yeah,
I've heard it a bunch.
Ballpark, yeah.
I've heard a bunch of it.
I feel like you should only one player per song should be the rule for any walk-up song.
I like
song,
that
right?
idea.
Can't have the same one as somebody else.
So the so they did a list of the top 50 summertime songs of all time.
Now, are they songs about the summer or songs that came out in the summer? I guess they're songs that were dominated certain summers.
And we have the top 10 here. We can do the top 10.
Okay.
Is that what we have?
Number 9.
Because everything has to be a damn list on radio. Lauren would know that if she listened to the radio.
I don't listen to music radio. Come on. Jeez. That was the point.
It's be like me tweeting. Does anybody go to the movies anymore?
I haven't been to the movies in forever.
Rex, we got to see you in the office of every place.
We need to talk. I know what she meant.
We know what she meant.
I mean, it's also hard when you're on the radio for 8 hours a day. It's a lot of hours that I can't be listening to the radio.
Right. Although there are moments, though, there have been people on the show that were listening to other stations while we were on.
Oh, that's always nice.
That has happened.
We worked at another station where you'd walk through the office and they'd be listening to a different station while Ro and I were on the air.
True. The most passive-aggressive thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I just love when they go to the Christmas music in September. It's so much fun. And you're like, that's not our station! Walking through the sales department and they're listening to, you know, Dinky and the Bean, Afternoons on some station. Oh, those guys are so funny.
You should be more like them.
Yeah, you should be more like them.
All right, here we go. Okay. I have the top 11 summer songs of all time. All right. Are we ready?
Curious.
All right, here
I'm
we go. Because okay, top 10 is too simple.
Okay.
Here we go. At number 11.
When there's things to do, not because you gotta. When you run for love, not because you oughta. When you trust your friend.
This? That's summer. What is this?
This is not a good summer song.
What song is this?
Has anyone ever heard this?
Was that from
1956?
What's the name of that song?
That summer feeling.
That sounds like the theme from like a TV Western from 1959.
All right, no, forget it.
What else you got?
Yeah, hold on.
Wait a minute.
All right.
Who was that?
Boys of Summer, maybe some Tom Petty.
I know, you'd think this is the worst list of all times.
Well, you never know.
I think that one. I think something happened there.
They get a $2 billion bribe, something like that.
Like right, a rigged list.
Right. I think that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Alligator Bob snuck that in.
Jeez,
that's his favorite song when he's out on the lagoon.
I just want to hear them play that. That's a very depressing summer song.
I know. What the hell was that? I think we had the wrong one. All right, here we go. Number 10.
When I wake up in the morning.
1977, Bill Withers.
Now you're talking.
Jam.
Bill Withers has a lot of songs about weather. Have you noticed?
Ain't no sunshine, lovely day. Yeah, sure.
It's a lovely day. Yeah. The Wither Weather.
That was a nice one.
The Wither.
There's about 9 movies that end with that song when the romantic couple walks off into the sunset after a balloon ride.
Right.
Lovely day.
So that's a nice one.
Right. Do we have the hook there?
Lovely day.
No, that's, we're playing this off the internet, aren't we?
You know, he harmonizes with himself, which is cool on that song, too.
That's what we're doing.
All right.
We're a radio station.
Is that as good as the first song we heard, but about the guy that wanted to go home, the lonesome cowboy guy?
Right, a song no one had ever heard of, and it was the 11th most popular summer song.
Like some guy playing something in like, you know, Folsom County Prison or something, you know. And then I went home and killed my feelings. What's the number? What do you got now?
Number 9.
Okay.
Hot
fun in the summertime.
Sly and the Family Stone,
right?
2 minutes and 39 seconds of pure pop heaven right there, folks.
Oh, man.
If only he would show up for his concerts, it would have been amazing. Right.
Would have been much better, yeah.
They're still waiting for him to show up at Grant Park. He never showed up for a concert, famously, in the 80s. People waited for 10 hours.
Right.
He just never showed.
Yes. It was the 70s, wasn't it? And there was a mini riot afterwards.
Yeah. And he did a song called There's a Riot Going On. So there you go.
There you go.
That's a good one.
All right, here we go. At number 8. Bananarama.
Yeah. They had a moment. Yeah,
they had 1 year. They had 1983.
Summer. Hazy Shade of Winter remake. Good stuff. These are all better than that first song. we're going in the right direction.
I forgot. I'm
calling for the... I'm going to have Bob Mueller, when he's done next Wednesday with his thing, I'm going to have him come in here and investigate how that song ended up at number 11 on the list of the best summer songs of all time.
All right.
I think they had the wrong song.
Keep it handy in case we need to hear it again, though. Guys.
It makes me concerned that the song I think should be number one might not even be on this list.
I know. I don't know. This list... this is... All right. Here we go. Number 7. The Ramones, Rockaway Beach.
Love the Ramones. Turns out they weren't actually related, but that's okay. I thought they were when they first. I'm like, this is awesome. All these brothers. They just call themselves Joey Ramone.
Right. There you go. Joey Ramone is dead. Neil Lipschitz was his name.
They ended up not liking each other at all. But they were fun.
All right.
That's a good one.
All right. Checking in at number 6. I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler. 1958. Eddie Cochran, Summertime Blues.
And the Who took it and rocked it out. Right?
All right.
That's a good one.
All right. So now, I'm just going to look at... I'm going to look ahead to the top 5. We're going to find out what Kim's doing in the news.
Okay, let's do that.
And then we're going to come back.
Just in case that other guy's got another follow-up hit to the lonesome loser that he did.
I you know what? During the break, I'm going to find out what the hell happened here.
B-side. Look at my shoes. It was another song that we don't remember.
All right. But we'll get to your top 5 summer songs of all times. I don't agree with anything on this list, by the way. Not a damn thing. But first, Kim, what's coming up?
President Trump says he'll get his citizenship question answered another way.
All right. We're doing the top 11 summer songs of all times. These are based on how much time they spent on the charts, as well as how they were associated with summer.
Okay. Got it. I was wondering what the criteria... Just like the ESPYs, it's hard to tell how they make the votes.
Yeah, quite honestly, I have no idea, because our number 11 was a song I'd never heard of, and it was depressing.
The rest have been pretty solid.
We're trying to figure out... We were in the control room here trying to figure out what Lauren Lapka's number 1 is. In her own head.
Well, I made my guess, but I'm not saying.
Maybe that will be the more exciting reveal at the end.
Yeah. Because based on how this has already been going, yes, I think you're absolutely right. All right, here we go. At number 5. Nobody on the road. Nobody on the beach. I feel it in the air. The summer's out of reach. Empty lake, empty streets. The sun goes down. The Boys of Summer, Don Henley.
A melancholy end of summer type of song, but a great hit.
Yes.
Great song. Boys of Summer.
Exactly. At number 4. See the curtains hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window. Let me know everything's all right. Here we go. Wait, no.
Okay. Summer breeze.
There you go. Right there.
Susan Croft.
All right.
That's been redone several times, too.
Yes, it has. That's in a lot of movies, too.
Yes.
And then at number 2. Summertime. That's right. This is number 3. I'm sorry. This is Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong from 1957.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's always been movies about the guy that just got out of prison, goes to the jazz club to meet an old friend, and this is playing.
Yeah, black and white, smoking
exactly.
A long cigarette.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Very noir.
Fans, no air conditioning. So everyone's trying to get catch a breeze.
Mm-hmm. I know. That did not make me feel good. All right. Checking in at?
I was playing that at a barbecue.
If you go to the cool ones, maybe.
Yeah, but it depends on whose barbecue you're going to.
Yeah.
Like somebody, sophisticated guy. I'd play it at my barbecue.
See here, kid. Trigger 312. Good Mike. For you.
Pretty much. There you go.
all right. Number 2. Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirt and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All there you go. Love and Spoonful from 1966.
Great pop hit.
And the number 1. Now, the funny thing about this is that between me and Richard, one of us... predicted this would be Lauren's number 1.
That's right.
We're going to find out
anticipation
if this actually is
They say the number one summer song of all times.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, that is right. Richard's wrong.
I was hoping.
Summertime. Listen, you know, man. Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff.
DJ Jazzy Jeff runs out to his mailbox every morning to get those royalties from this. Will uses them to line the parakeet cage, but that's good for DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Yeah, well, DJ Jazzy Jeff is back now,
yeah,
right? Being like a big producer and stuff.
So,
yeah.
So what was your number one, Lauren?
In the summertime when the weather is fine.
Oh, yeah. That's a
Mungo
good one.
Jerry. That's a good one. I get right? How could the guy that's depressed on number 11 be ahead of Mungo Jerry?
11? Come on.
Mungo Jerry was the greatest. Turned out that there was, I remember this too, there was actually no Jerry. It was a band, Mungo Jerry. I always thought there was a guy, Mungo Jerry. But his name was like Carl.
It's a true story.
That screwed you up.
Mungo Jerry,
it
messed me up.
This but it's a, guy, this, that's a good know. One. Can we, do we have that one?
We are playing all these off the internet, aren't we? There's going to be trouble. I can just feel it. I don't know from whom.
Well, this clearly indicates Lauren's into the weed because that's all that Mungo Jerry was about.
This is the worst list ever. Who put this list together?
I like the list. That's pretty good. I would have agreed with number one.
I agreed with maybe like four of them.
Ooh. We should build our own.
Build our own list.
I agree.
Kev's got it.
Time Out New York is who did it.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? That's why that stupid thing ended up at 11. Because somebody was playing that in New York. It was never getting played here.
Okay. We could do our own. The Rokon Show.
Summer playlist. Summer playlist.
Saturday in the Park by Chicago.
You need Tom Petty in there. I mean,
yeah, you didn't need Tom
Free
Petty.
Free Fallin'. I don't know. It just feels summery.
Well, these songs seem to be about summer, not just hits from
like
summer.
Songs you would listen to while you're sitting on the patio. Yeah. That's what I'm kind of thinking. Not songs.
Yeah, that's
that.
A different list, Kev.
It's a different list. All right.
That's a bro list that's for you and your buddies, list. Okay?
Dude, put more Tom Petty on it.
Hey, just get it. No, Pandora Petty.
You may have noticed, Kev.
More Dave Matthews,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, listen. You may have noticed somewhere along the line that all the songs had summer in the title, Kev, in case you hadn't noticed there.
The news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2.
There they are.
Oh, my God. I am such a mess.
Well, fortunately, Gorilla Social has their act together, pal.
Yes, that's Gorilla Social.
Good stuff.
They are in Studio G, and we're going to be hearing from them coming up.
Tight.
Yes, very tight.
I love it.
So, yeah, a bunch of youngsters in there. Average age is like... They were
carded downstairs.
There's facial hair, so I think they have to be older than 8. But
it's patchy.
Yeah, but
it's patchy.
They're young guys. So we are going to hear from Gorilla Social in Live Music Thursday, which is really a Friday, which is really a Thursday.
Okay.
Got it? All right. Richard Roper Review is brought to you by Arkadeck.
Yes.
And we need now to talk about The Lion King.
The Lion King, the much anticipated live action CGI remake of the beloved 1994 animated classic. Actually doesn't hit theaters till next week, but I got a chance to see it early and we wanted to get out front here and let people know so they can plan accordingly. I'm going to start off by just saying that it's very polarizing right now. Some critics are just absolutely dumping on it. Others are loving it. I'm in the almost love it, 3 to 3.5 star range on this. I did enjoy the film. Jon Favreau, who did Jungle Book, of course, directed the Iron Man movies. He's got an incredible eye. They actually call this photoreal. Disney Live Studios calls this technique photoreal. Whatever that means, it's magical because the film looks like one of the best nature documentaries you've ever seen. The lions and the zebras and the crocodile that's in the lagoon. He's not in this. But the animals look amazing. I mean, they really do look like lions you'd see in the jungle.
Right.
And it is, of course, the classic Lion King story. But they do then move their mouths and talk, which is always a little strange when the cartoon animals talk, we're used to seeing that. When the realistic animals talk, ever since Mr. Ed, that's been a little bit disturbing for some people. And I think they just gave Mr. Ed peanut butter, and he would chew, and then they'd like, link it up. But that's always been weird to see that. Remember Chronicles of Narnia?
Yes.
And the lion started talking. I go, why is Liam Neeson inside that lion, right? It's a very particular set of mane. So in this one,
One of the great things is James Earl Jones is back as Mufasa. The Lion King, yes, the father of little Simba the cub, who I do maintain is the cutest little creature you've ever seen on screen ever in the movies. A little lion come Simba. When Simba gets older, Donald Glover gives voice to Simba. Beyonce Knowles Carter, as she's known in the Screen Actors Guild, is Nala. And then, of course, you have Scar, the evil Scar, the brother of Mufasa, right? Remember Jeremy Irons, who should have almost gotten an Oscar nomination. He was so evil. Well, Chiwetel Ejiofor is Scar. So here we got a scene here. So you got a picture of the evil Scar kind of luring Simba the cub and kind of setting up Simba.
This gorge is where all lions come to find their roar.
All lions? Even my dad?
Even Mufasa came here when he was your age. Refused to leave until his roar could be heard above the rim.
All the way up there?
That's when you know you found it. With a little practice, you'll never be called a cub again.
You just want to yell out, "No, Simba, don't fall for it! Don't fall for it!" And of course, you know, terrible things happen. I mean, The Lion King is essentially Hamlet. I mean, it's Shakespearean. Right. It actually has a lot of the storylines from Hamlet. And it's all about, you know, double crossing and power grabs. And there's some things about the ecosystem, the circle of life, if you will, right? Because they kind of explain, like, well, listen, we eat the antelope, sure, but that's all part of nature's plan. Antelope, not that happy about it. I think it's an amazing film to look at. The part where the animals are talking and singing is a little strange. And Favreau wisely, for like a lot of the big musical numbers, he pulls back for long shots. So we don't have to watch these animals trying to match up their mouth movements to songs. Because it's just weird with live action animals. And I think that's what the problem some people are having with this. It's not a shot-by-shot recreation of the film, but they don't mess with it. They're not. Why would you mess with that great story? So if you love the original story, some people are saying to me, well, is this going to ruin the animated thing? I'm like, well, no, because they're not taking that away from you. You still have your memories of the 94 classic. That stands alone. If you want to say which one's better, I would say yes, the 1994 animated classic. I like what they did with this. It's unbelievable to look at. Even though you know there's all this kind of magic and computers and everything, it's still incredible to look at. The detail, like, you know, just the every little flying bug, every blade of grass, it's just incredible to look at.
The Jungle Book, which Favreau did first,
yes,
right?
Yes.
This look reel or whatever, photoreel technology, completely freaked me out. Because yeah. And I love the original animated Jungle Book. I saw it as a kid, and then I showed it to my daughters again. It was like, my daughter and I went to go see it when it came out in the photoreel thing.
Yeah.
And it just, I think it stays with you less. In some strange way, it just is like all of a sudden, it's less memorable because it isn't animated,
right? Well, that's true because even with the amazing technology, you know, it's not as if when little Simba's talking, you know, it kind of does feel still like there's some sort of puppetry type of thing, you know, like a ventriloquist type of thing, as opposed to the animated characters where you just obviously just buy into it. They're more anthropomorphic, as they say, right?
Not to mention,
more
human looking. Story already.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, well, you know, there's a whole generation that, you know, if they've seen it, the story's as old as time. So the Lion King's never been like, oh my gosh, what a surprising story. You see, they lay it out in very basic terms so that children can understand. When Scar comes on screen, first of all, he's very scary looking, but then it's very, very, you know, ominous music and dark lighting and everything. Right. And, I mean, all of that, you know, is kind of, it's not a complicated plot. This is not the usual suspects we're talking about here. You know who's good, you know who's evil, you know about you're going to get Hakuna Matata and all those fun interludes. All of that is pretty much sticking with it. But what you're saying was a lot of other people are saying, that oddly enough, there's something kind of cold about, because it's so realistic that it doesn't warm your memories the same way as the animated one. I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. Well, and also every lion looks the same. Looks like every lion you'd see in the zoo.
Well, that's a good point. In fact, there's, you know, when Nala gets older, you know, the romantic interest for you, if you will, for Simba, there was a scene where you cannot tell the difference between Simba's mother and Nala because they're both
lions. Right. And in the animated, they create characters.
Yeah, you could tell change your faces. Now, of course, you know, they make Scar very different because it's, you know, just a different look to the character. In fact, there's even a moment where someone thinks Simba is Mufasa as the grown lion. And she says, Mufasa? Because they look exactly like lions.
Yeah,
as opposed to if you've got a wild boar, there's just the one, or the goofy bird, there's just the one. And in the voice cast,
Pumbaa and Timbor or whatever.
Yeah, that's Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen. You know, and having a lot of fun. Billy Eichner in particular is great. And John Oliver is Zuzu, I think. Zuzu's Petals, Zozo, whatever, the dopey bird.
Zazu.
I mean, Zazu, the dopey bird. I mean, you know, I mean, the voice. This one.
She's unbelievable.
She knows Mungo Jerry and the Disney catalog, which is all valuable. But, I mean, the cast is the voice cast. You know, you got your Keegan, Michael Key. We mentioned Seth Rogen, Amy Sedaris. Everybody likes to get in on this. And that can be a little tricky, too, because in the original, yes, you had James Earl Jones and you had Jeremy Irons, but not everybody in the original Disney classic animated films were famous actors. And now you do get a little bit taken out of it because Beyonce sounds exactly like Beyonce as Nala.
Right. A lot of her voice actors.
You could pick, yeah. I mean, there were like a lot of the main characters, even going back to movies like Aladdin, where, yeah, you had Robin Williams, but Aladdin and a lot of the other characters, they were not famous actors. Now they all want to get in on it because they like to take their kids to the premieres and prove they're great parents. That's why all the stars do this now.
Well, there's also the issue of wanting to be the person that when you're watching it, you're trying to figure out who that is.
Yeah.
Like, I know that voice. Yeah. Where's that voice from?
It's
and that does take you out of it.
Yeah, and I find myself doing that, even though I knew who most of them. Because, yeah, even like a minor character, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I think because like Jimmy Kimmel has two lines. I mean, and that gets a little bit, I think they'd be better off not doing too much of the stunt voice casting. I mean, Beyonce's great, but the truth is there are 5,000 voice actresses that could do that role. Maybe some of them even better.
Yeah. Well, true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they needed a song from her.
And, and then she shows up at the red carpet.
Yeah.
It's, you know, pandemonium.
Yeah. Is her husband Mr. Z in it?
I don't remember seeing him in there. I don't believe he even makes
it. Doesn't he have to do that?
I'm told that Chance has a couple of lines, maybe unbilled. I'm not sure.
Interesting.
Who he did. Chance did somebody.
What was it? They just were calling people in. Hey, I need you to do just sound like a macaw. What's
pretty
a macaw
much
sound like?
Yeah. I mean, you name some, you know, every single character, even like, again, minor characters who have, you know, who are just identified in the closing credits as Impala or Hyena 4 are voiced by famous people. Because again, I think it's like, okay, that'll be fun. They'll tweet about it. They'll show up at the premiere.
Disney
knows what they're doing, you know.
Right, and they're doing it for scale. They're doing it for the union scale. All right, on the other side. So you
3.5 stars.
Three and a half stars.
Still recommending it.
All right.
Yeah, strong recommendation.
Okay. All right. On the other side, we're going to be discussing.
We're talking about Stuber. We're going to talk Stuber. How about that?
Let's do that.
And which then, is out in the theaters tonight.
And then we have live music. It's Thursday, but we're doing live music on a Friday anyway because it's live music Thursday, Friday.
Cool. Got Mungo Jerry coming next week, I know.
Gorilla Social.
These guys are really good.
We should get Mungo Jerry. Is Mungo Jerry still alive? Or are they still alive?
They're still out there. The band is still playing. I know they played a festival in Switzerland recently.
I'll bet they did.
Nothing wrong with that. Man.
All right, let's check in now and find out what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour.
Row the Humboldt Park Gator causing extra work for park district workers.
Illinois DCFS under attack. What's gone wrong and what's being done to put things right? Protecting children, examining DCFS this week on WGN TV News at 9.
Gorilla Social is our band. It's live music Friday and a Thursday. Oh, there they are.
How good are those guys?
They're good.
Nice stuff, man.
They're good.
Looking forward to it.
They're opening for Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, man. Remember when they used to come out, the introduction was, on your feet or on your knees for Blue Oyster Cult. Don't Fear the Reaper. That should have been the number one summer song.
There you go.
That's really cool. Where is that going to be?
That is going to be on October 12th at the Arcata Theater.
I'll be there.
In St. Charles.
Let's do it.
So you're going to hear Gorilla Social coming up on
That's
the other side.
Really
but first,
cool.
Mr. Roper, can you just tell us about this Stuber movie?
Yeah, we've got to talk about Stuber. So Kumail Nanjiani, who's a very funny comic, Silicon Valley, did a movie called The Big Sick. Mm-hmm. With his wife, Emily Gordon, got an Oscar nomination for writing that. He plays an Uber driver named Stu, hence he's called Stuber. Mild-mannered, Prius-driving Uber guy trying to keep that 4-star to 5-star rating, right? Dave Bautista from Guardians of the Galaxy, Drax the Destroyer, maybe the largest human being this side of The Rock in the movies. If you ever seen Dave Bautista, he's beyond big. So the setup here is he's a cop. He's uncovering corruption, but he just had LASIK surgery when he gets the call that his undercover partner has got the big break in the case, so he can't drive. He needs an Uber driver. So he calls an Uber because he doesn't trust other people on the force, right? That's the conceit that puts them together. So here's the setup of this. You got to picture Dave Bautista, who's the largest human being in the world, and he's wearing sunglasses, and he gets in the Uber with Stuber, who makes a reference to a certain other movie starring a certain other very, very large human being.
Hey! Uber?
Yeah. Oh
my God.
Hey, let me guess. You want me to drive you to all the Sarah Connors in the city?
Come on, start it up. Let's go.
Oh, it's already started. Electric car. I call it silent but deadly.
Drive.
I'm Stu. How do you do? Can I get you some bottled water, some Canadian chocolates? It was one of those things where I thought I was getting 5 bars on Amazon, but I ended up getting
Koreatown, now.
Koreatown? Now. Hold on, I'm going to bang a Yui here real quick. Nope, don't got it. Hold on. Oh, didn't quite make it.
Nice. But really, they're really good together, the two of them. The reference there, you're talking about the first Terminator.
Right.
You're going to find all the Sarah Connors. So there's a lot of really, I thought, you know, clever stuff like that. It's a throwback in ways. It's set in present day, but it's like the 90s and 80s movies like Lethal Weapon, 48 Hours, R-rated, so they don't pull back on the violence. It's like hard violence, but then the comedy. So I'm giving it 3 stars. It's very hit or miss, but those two are really good. Dave Bautista and Kumail Nanjiani in the classic mismatched pair of buddies. One's too mild-mannered, one's too aggressive, and then they kind of take on each other's personalities. You know where it's going to go, but fun. All Stuber. Right.
Did he write it?
No. Everybody, you know, it's good because he's such a good writer, but this is actually, they're hired guns on this one, Kumail and Dave Bautista.
That's interesting because that Big Sick, which he did, people should see that. It's on the Netflix and all the rest of that now. It is takes place in Chicago.
Yeah.
I don't think they shot it here, but it does take place in Chicago.
Some of it they shot here.
And it's a true story of he meeting his wife and then her getting super sick. And they couldn't figure out exactly what had happened to her. And
he'd just broken up with her, but he couldn't explain that to the parents. Her parents come in, and he gets, oh, by the way, you know, they're like, we're so glad you're here for her through all of this.
Right. And he's an Uber driver in that movie as well.
He actually is.
Yeah. So anyway, it's very good.
But that's a terrific film.
Yeah. All right. So 3 stars.
For the big, not for the Big Sick, but you should see, that was 4 stars I gave for Stuber.
Stuber gets 3 stars. All right. There you go. All right. We've got live music on a Thursday, even though we're calling it a Friday, coming up after the news. And Kim Gordon's got it right now, brought to you by Kaplan Law Firm. That is Gorilla Social. And they're in Studio G right now, ready to do live music on a Thursday afternoon. Because every day this week has been like a Friday. That has been our plan. That is, I don't know how well it's gone, but it was the plan that we started out with, and that's the most important thing, Kevin.
I think it's gone well.
Thank you. Lauren, I don't think necessarily agrees, but...
No, I do, because I've had no clue what day it is every day.
I had a little breakdown yesterday, but I'm all right today.
Yeah, we all may have lived it up like it actually is a Friday every single night this week.
Yeah. All right, now... Thank you for pointing that out. Gorilla Social is formed in 2018, and Jim DeLaRocca is the lead vocalist. Are you the Gorilla or the Social?
I'm everything, honestly.
You're everything. John, I want to introduce the rest of the band, though, too, before we get started here. John Kinzel on bass, right? Jimmy Nicolay on guitar. Prithvi Malapula. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. How about that? Nailed it!
Nailed it.
Nailed it on guitar, and Lakeem Trotter on drums. And I just want to read this and then have you explain this to me, Jim.
Okay.
All right. It says, the best way to describe Gorilla Social is if the Alabama Shakes had a baby with Arctic Monkeys and Young the Giant had a baby with Led Zeppelin. And then those two babies grew up and had a kid. It would probably sound a little something like Gorilla Social.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody gets that, right? I mean, that's simple. All right. So how old are you guys?
Oh, actually, we range from, Kim over here is 28, and I'm the youngest of the group, and I'm 24. So.
Okay, all right. I just want to check IDs, because I saw that they were stealing the liquor. That was the only reason that I wanted to do that. All right, what do you want to play for us? Well, first of all, I should mention this. You are going to be opening for Blue Oyster Cult at the Arcata Theater at, that's of course, in St. Charles, on October 12th.
Yes.
So we're pre-promoting that show, because that's going to be a gigantic show. To see a band like Blue Oyster Cult at a house like the Arcata, right? Very intimate and really great setting for it. Mm-hmm. Classic place. And what an incredible opportunity is for you guys, right?
Yeah, we're very excited. We're we're honored to have the chance, to be honest, to be up.
And where else can people see you?
We'll be performing at a So Far show in August 16th, although the location is yet to be announced, and we've got a lot of other shows lined up.
I happen to like that when they don't tell you where the show is and you have to guess. That is my favorite thing in show business. And they go, well, you know what? I'm going to go, just give me the date, and I'll find you. Yeah. I'm going to be good. All right, what do you want to play first?
We're going to be playing one of our new singles coming up soon. This one's called Colorblind.
Gorilla Social. Social in Studio G, live music on a Thursday, even though it should be a Friday. But it feels like a Friday, even though it's a Thursday. And you can see Gorilla Social opening for Blue Oyster Cult at the Arcata in October. And you can just go to the Arcata website, arcatalive.com, and check out the ticket selection there. And you definitely got to see these guys. They're going to be playing all over the Chicago area over the next couple of weeks as well. Jim DeLaRocca is the lead guy there, and are you writing all this too, Jim?
Yeah, I've written every single song except for, actually, we have one song called Smiles. Our guitarist wrote that.
Oh,
yeah, but otherwise everything else I've written from scratch.
Excellent. And you're Chicagoan originally?
Yeah. Well, actually, I was born in Miami, but I moved over here to Chicago when I was around 5 years old, and I've lived here ever since. And most of us have actually, I'm pretty sure the rest of us are native Chicagoans.
You haven't met this band before, have you? I think that's what I'm just learning.
No,
right
no,
now.
I just met them today.
Yes, they picked me up off the I think three of these guys are actually working in the back office. You know, I you get a sense, like, the Chicago music scene is so hot right now, right? There's so many different places you can play. There's a ton of great musicians that have come here. It is like, you know, between Nashville, once Nashville became super hot for musicians, people started, you know, splitting out of New York and L.A. And so they were landing wherever the work could be. And this has become a really, really great market for great musicians. So,
yeah definitely.
It's all going from here. All right. Falling Out, is this a single already?
No, we're going to release this alongside of Colorblind and Luna coming up.
Okay, so why don't you do Falling Out right now, and then we'll come back and we'll do the last song right before we get out of here at the top of the hour. Ladies and gentlemen, Gorilla Social.
Late at night, but I
That's Gorilla Social. The grandchildren of Alabama Shakes, Arctic Monkeys, Young the Giant, and Led Zeppelin. We learned that. All right, hold on. Don't anybody move. We'll come right back. We'll close this up with Gorilla Social and live music on a Thursday, which normally would be on a Friday, but it's a Thursday. I don't want to explain this anymore. And we'll find out first, though, from Don Kleppen, what's coming up in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at the top of the hour. All right, we are back. It's live music on a Thursday. Gorilla Social is here. You can see them at the Arcata Theater in October, opening for Blue Oyster Cult. And they got one more thing. You've got an album coming out next month, right?
Mm-hmm. Before I talk about that, I actually wanted to give a shout-out to Susie and Jeff over at 1126 Entertainment and Ron at Evanston Rocks just for getting us these couple of gigs that we've gotten. So, but, yeah, we've got an album coming out soon, a bunch of new music coming out soon. It's going to be really exciting.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right, what do you want to play for us now?
We're going to be playing our last song, Luna.
Take it away. Gorilla Social.
We couldn't be together. Why couldn't you see?
Justin Kaufman has stepped into the studio. He's going to take you through the night here on Extension 720.
The name of my single, Take It Through the Night.
James Ingram worked with you on that. I remember. Yeah, I remember that.
And Michael McDonald's got a feature on it. He's like, Take Me Through the Night.
Right, just one. Right. Right. He's got one ride. That's all he's allowed.
I'm on a yacht rock kick. You know, I feel like I'm really into the yacht rock right now. Christopher Cross, a little Hall & Oates.
Yeah, I know they do that on the Sirius XM. The problem is it's the same 10 things over and over again.
There's only 10 songs.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh man, it's just, you know, I like the idea of yacht rock. You're just wondering what a pretentious programmer decided, you know what, when I was on my yacht.
No. Did you ever see, I forgot what it was, this would be 15 years ago, at the beginning of the internet, there was the Channel 101, and it was a website that had a bunch of great short films, kind of like Lonely Island, it was the beginning of that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. but they did a series, and I believe this is kind of where it comes from, they did a series of what if all of these soft rock stars hung out on their yachts at the,
what would it
at
sound
the
like?
Lakefront, and they did like these great skits and stuff where it was like there's Hall and there's Oates and there's Christopher Cross, there's Michael McDonald, they have mustaches, the whole bit. It was a great Kenny Loggins. It was a great bit. And
you
was,
named
was,
them all right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it was all in the, and they all play these characters and they would pretend like they're making songs together and hanging out with their short white shorts and they're, it's really great. I don't know what ever happened to that. They probably are all the people making Netflix shows now.
Yes.
But it was, they were young and it was a really funny early internet bit. So I think that's kind of where it came from.
The yacht rock thing?
The idea of calling it yacht
rock. Yeah. I'm not 100%. After a while, it sounds like a good idea until you listen to it long enough.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like
anything.
Like this show. All right. What you got coming up on yours?
I listen to this show all the time. We're going down to Calumet. We're going down to Eggers Marsh tonight. We went down a couple days ago, and they're doing a big thing down there. You know what I'm talking about? If you go just past the bridge, the Skyway Bridge to Indiana,
mm-hmm. right,
or Michigan, whatever you're taking the Skyway for, you're always, when you come to the second toll that's right there before you go into Indiana, mm-hmm. you look to the right and you're like, wow, that is there. I can't believe there's so much, there's water here and there's green space. That's got to be gross. And
yeah.
That's where we're going.
Yeah.
But that's the idea. We go there. And I have to say that, you know, we went with the Nature Conservancy and some people from Eggers Marsh and Eggers Grove. And it's beautiful.
Isn't that Wolf Lake?
Is Wolf Lake is right behind there, but this is the marsh and the pond. But yeah. this is a spot. And it's
and there's always guys fishing in there. And I'm like, oh, my God, right? What are they catching?
It's very clean. Everything about
it's clean?
It's clean. And it's...
Well, there's smokestacks behind
this,
it.
One time, he was telling me off mic, and I'm going to do a story on this as well, but Wolf Lake is one of the cleanest lakes in Illinois. And it's because the real culprit for dirtying up lakes is agriculture runoff.
Yeah.
So there is none of that there. It's all industrial.
Cow
poop. You can kind of keep the other stuff out. You could keep that those smokestacks and stuff out of the water there.
Uh-huh.
But it's harder with the agricultural runoff because it goes through the soil. Anyway, point is on this, this is a stop. It's always been a stop in the cycle of this planet for migratory birds. Like some of the birds coming from Canada, they stop and they settle at Eggers Marsh. Blue herons, big birds. These, and for a while, because they cut it off from the lake because of industry and pollution,
right.
and engineering, they did have a Nike missile site there in the 50s. They stopped coming, and so now they're trying to create it again, and the birds are coming back, and they're
it smells
rediscovering it.
Like well, it doesn't smell good down there. I mean, that's when you know you're in Indiana. Right around there. You're crossing that little strip of highway, and you're thinking, oh, my God, I hope my car doesn't break down because I'll have to swim home. And then all of a sudden you go, oh yeah, that's it.
Well, I will
Welcome
say,
to Gary.
I have to say that for a long time, because my wife lives in Valpo, so we always take that trek.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always like, someday I'm going to go over into those woods. I just want to see what it's like, what's there.
And
I got the
found
chance
out.
To do it.
There's a beautiful golf course right there, yeah. Lost Marsh, which they built on the other side of it, which is great. It's a really nice course,
southeast,
city of Hammond.
Southeast side of Chicago tonight.
Yeah. All right.
There you go. Chicago Stories told 24/7 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by Cars for Kids.